Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth in to a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Shahash. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty, mighty God, mighty, mighty Jesus, mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if you can hear me clear. Hallelujah. Looks like, I don't know. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Sister Loretta, the Lord's servant, Joseph. Sister Luna, shalom to each and one of you, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, because he is good and he is awesome. Amen. We are in the last days before the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming for his bride as he made us the promise, my brother and sister. Amen. And we're looking forward, hallelujah, for his coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I want to remind you tonight of what the Lord has said to us through his word, his prophecy. The end time prophecy about his return, the event that are going to take place before the return of Jesus, that you and I can open our Bible in Jeremiah 30 and read it ourselves and know and understand that what God is saying, hallelujah, that is going to happen during this time and during the great tribulation that is about to arrive. My brother and sister, hallelujah, is going to happen. My brother and sister, and it's already happening. The signs, the great tribulation is still not here, but the great tribulation is not far off because of this prophecy here, of this prophecy to Jeremiah about the people of Israel returning back to their land. My brother and sister, and then what is going to come to pass, hallelujah, in Jeremiah 30, when they return back to the land, which is the time of 7 years, great tribulation. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 30 says the word of the Lord. Let me, because I am in the Jewish Bible. Hallelujah. Let me read it from the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord, hallelujah, spoke his word to Jeremiah, says, this is what the Lord God of Israel say. Write in a book everything that I will tell you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel, Judah, back to captivity, and I will bring them back to the land that I gave their ancestor, and hallelujah, they will take possession of it. Now, Israel is a nation now, my brother and sister, so this word of them coming back, hallelujah, to their land, and having them as a possession, how already happened. So, the end time prophecy points to where Israel will be during this time. They're back, as God said, to the land, possessing their land. My brother and sister, and this is important that we keep in mind, because any prophecy that we're going to compare in the Bible, it'll be Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, it has to be compared to Israel being back to their land. My brother insisted, because this is what God said through Jeremiah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel's already in their land during the Great Tribulation when Russia goes to attack them. My brother insisted. Russia and China being the last two countries to attack Israel. My brother insisted. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, this is the message the Lord has spoke about Israel, Jeremiah 34, and Judah. This is what the Lord said. We hear cry of fear, cry of panic, and not cry of peace. Okay? Because during the Great Tribulation, this is exactly what's happening. I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible. Hallelujah. We hear cry of terror, of fear, and not peace. Hallelujah. Ask now and see, okay, what's happening here. Why is it terror? Hallelujah. Because being for up, hallelujah, that has been locked up for thousands of years, the ancient Nephilim, are being released during the Great Tribulation. The earth is under tremendous fear, under tremendous terror, this Bible describes. My brother and sister, others says fear. This one says terror. My brother and sister, no one is at peace anymore. When these Nephilims are loosened upon the earth, it changes everything. It changes everyone's life, my brother and sister, because they are wicked, they are evil, they corrupted the generations of Noah, my brother and sister. They make them believe on everything they told them to be in right when it was wrong. They make them believe in false hope, my brother and sister, in so much more. Hallelujah. And this is what the Great Tribulation will be about. Hallelujah. False hope upon humanity. Because if they don't believe in Christ, the Bible says, they're going to believe in the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Because they did not believe the truth. God, hallelujah, is giving them, Romans 1, the Apostle Paul says, a spirit, hallelujah, that will deceive them to believe that the lies is true. Whatever they are going to believe is wrong. It's not of God, because they have rejected the truth, Paul says, hallelujah, to the churches. As long as people keep rejecting the truth, they're going to fall easy into believing the lies. My brother insisted, there's only one true and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is a lie. Okay? When people think about their life, they think about the things they don't have instead of the things that they have that is eternal, their salvation. If they have received Christ, when you think about your life, you're supposed to be being thankful to God for being saved, not thinking of the things you don't have on this earth that are really not important, that are going to perish soon, my brother and sister. God, hallelujah, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior into your life, hallelujah, your hope of glory, hallelujah, is going to endure forever. This life is temporary. God is giving you an eternal life for free that you get to enjoy with him, my brother and sister. I haven't seen anyone in heaven or in the millennium or in eternity lacking, hallelujah, the things that they need daily, because God supplies everyone's need, my brother, my sister. He supplies it, hallelujah, however he chooses. He can either give you a mansion, hallelujah, if you've been faithful to him, and he'll give it to you also out of his goodness, or he'll touch someone to help you, which I also see in the millennium. I've seen people constructing a house for other believers. Let's say people coming out of the Great Tribulation, out of the valley, who never tied, who were never faithful to God, but now no one is going to be homeless in the millennium. Jesus being in Jerusalem, where you can go and visit and ask him for anything. Ask, he says, and thou shalt receive. So you can ask God of anything, and he'll give it to you. You go to Jerusalem, either if you have to take a bus and go to Jerusalem and say, Lord, I don't have nothing. I never gave to your word when I was on earth, Lord. Will you please give me a house? And the Lord says, okay, I will speak to my servant to make you a house. If he wants to say, I'll give you a house. Praise the Lord. However he brings the house into your life, it doesn't matter. He's giving you a house. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because he is good and because his mercy endureth forever. So Jeremiah says, we hear of cried in terror and fear and no peace. Hallelujah. Ask now and see. This fear and this terror doesn't come specifically from humanity. Amen. Hallelujah. It comes from someone else bringing it, and it's the fallen one. My brother and sister, life on this earth, soon as the bride disappears, will change completely. God is allowing it to be normal, as we can say now, because the church is here, and the church doesn't have much neither. My brother and sister, whatever the church is going to accomplish, if it were not accomplished from here to the 3 days of darkness, where the revival afterward begins, it will have that opportunity to go out and minister, my brother and sister, to the people in the world, to the four corners of the earth. And once we witness to those that the Lord wants us to witness to, then, whoop, the Lord will send us home. We come to the Lord, we give him an account, and we go home. And that's it. That's the end of that, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So there's not much left. Hallelujah. People will look for more time. Hallelujah. Remember when the Lord said this? Hallelujah. There's no years left. And I hear people say, oh, brother, there's years left. Even maybe 100. And Jesus has said to me, no, there's no years left, my brother and sister. So we got to trust the Lord in all this. We got to trust God. Hallelujah. And I'm glad Father has spoken to me in regard to these things. Hallelujah. Because he said it's over. It is over. Hallelujah. For you, he says. Hallelujah. And I remember what he has shown me, that I was going home in the rapture. So if it's over, it's over. My brother and sister, I remember back in 2019, he said it's over. Hallelujah. When you go down there, your life is going to change. By the end of 2019, our life, our world changed. My brother and sister, it happened quickly. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Can man give birth to a child? It's a question, says Jeremiah. No. Why then do I see all men with their hand on the stomach like women in labor? Hallelujah. The pain of nuclear weapon. Hallelujah. The pain of radiation going through people's body. When these nuclear weapons are released upon this country and upon the world and the nations, because as this nation is being bombed, they're also going to defend themselves, and they're going to bomb other nations, and it's going to be such a mess on the earth. Nuclear weapon is nothing to be messed with. And so the air, the water, and the food are going to be contaminated, my brother insisted, to the level that humanity right now have no idea. Even people in high office, hallelujah, had no idea how bad it's going to be. I have more information than President Biden, than President Trump, about when the nuclear weapons are released, how people's life will be ruined forever. My brother and sister, I have more information than the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and anybody of them, because Jesus has taken me there and showing me there how life is going to change, how people will live in a different form of life. They're begging, the air they breathe contaminates their body. Hallelujah. To where we say now, if people were not in the Great Tribulation, when these bombs are released, they would have been there instantly. But because God said that they will flee from them, they won't die. They will be in terrible, unimaginable, unthinkable pain. My brother and sister, miserable, like you have no idea. I've seen people gasping for air like a fish out of water. Hallelujah. Thirsty for water.
Imagine going weeks and months without water. Right now, that's impossible. But in the great tribulation, it's possible. God's going to make it possible because it is the great punishment of the world. It is a great testing, the Bible says. My brother and sister, imagine you're going weeks and months without food. Right now, it is impossible for you to go weeks and months without food because your body will give up and you will die. In the great tribulation, that's totally possible because that is not killing you. Your body is so hungry, you're going to go days, weeks, and months without a piece of bread and without a cup of water. Now, you tell me how painful and miserable that is. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it is unimaginable what humanity is going to go through for 7 years. Hallelujah. Unimaginable. You cannot imagine. If you try to write it down, the pain is beyond. My brother says, I seen a grown man crying like a baby. Not drink water for weeks and months. Have not ate for months. In the air is so heavy, contaminated with radiation in America. My brother insisted that he just wants to die. He just wants to die. My brother and sister, he just wants someone to come and cut him in pieces and kill him. But he knows that they is not in business anymore. And during those 7 years, my brother and sister, it is the most miserable life that people are going to go through. And those that will call upon the name of the Lord will help them. Howsoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the word of God says. That's the mercy of Jesus available for those that will cry out to him. Hallelujah. Why do I see all the men, says Jeremiah, with their hand on the stomach like a woman in labor? Hallelujah. They're in such a pain. They're in such a horror. It's so horrible for them. The pain that they're going through, the hunger and thirst that they're in, that their stomach. Hallelujah. I saw one of them at one time. The front of the stomach and the back were like together. My brother and sister. And the person was trying to breathe. It was a woman. She was laying down. My brother and sister. And the husband was trying to do something for her. Because she just had a baby. And she didn't have no milk to give that baby. And the husband had to take the baby, lay it on the table, and begin to cut the baby to feed his wife. Did that sound to you like something you know? No, you had no idea. You had no idea. You may say now, I will never do that. Oh, because you haven't found yourself in that situation. He is feeding his wife, my brother and sister, because she is in such a pain. Hallelujah. And there's no way the baby can make it without food and water is what he's thinking. He cannot bear to keep hearing his wife in agony, crying in pain. Because it's been 9 after 9, months after months, this woman crying this way. And the husband, who probably back here was a good husband, took care of his wife and now just wanted to do something for her. Wanted to help his wife. My brother insisted. But there was nothing he can feed his wife with anymore. All the cats have been eating. All the dogs have been eating. All the wild deer hawks have been eating. Eating completely. There's nothing. No apple. Nothing. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. People are literally going through the garbage dump anywhere looking for food. My brother and sister, to try to stay alive one more day, or try to bear the pain of their body and stomach one more day, all people have no idea. They just don't have no idea. Why do I see all men? Hallelujah. This is not 50% of the men of humanity. All. And this is men and women. Why do I see all men, men and women, including children, with a hand on the stomach, like a woman in labor? Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you have done seen a woman in labor. How she screamed in pain. Okay? That's one thing I mentioned to my wife when she was having Levite. When I went in there, the scream of women having children in the hospital was so loud that I just wanted to be out of there. My brother and sister, imagine that of all, everyone in the Great Tribulation, like a woman in pain, like everyone having a child, and they have the pain on their stomach, and they're all screaming, "Ay, it hurts, it hurts." If anyone have anything, and everyone is asking the same, please, someone, have mercy, someone. My Lord, my God. Believe me, I'm not telling you the whole story because I cannot make the I cannot make up the voices that I heard there and the pain that I saw people in. I'm having a hard time describing you. I'm going to describe you here in the Lord's Hour maybe at 3 or 5% of the pain and horror of the Great Tribulation because I can't describe it. I'm not a good actor, my brother and sister, to sit here and describe you. And then I will have to make up a lot of voice. I just can. I can only tell you in my word, hallelujah, as much as I can. Where every face turned pale at this level, people are in horror. And everyone is pale. They have an A. They haven't drank for months. And they cannot, some cannot keep looking for food because they have no strength to go look for food. They're thrown into the houses. I saw people on the sidewalk. My brother and sister, what you could tell is a sidewalk, but you know, like by the bomb and all that, the main highways and all buildings and all that has been destroyed. Whatever's left, whatever's standing, there are people on the floor laying down. As I was walking, I had to step aside, and I see young lady in the 17 and young men in the 17 and 20 laying on the floor begging for something, begging for food or like in different locations, no clothing because they keep changing into beasts every day. Every 3 hours or so, they're changing into a beast. Now they tear their clothing as they change into werewolf zombie. Someone was telling me, "Brother Elby, I know you're seeing a lot of people changing into beasts, zombie, two-headed monster, and all these other things, but the difference by seeing, Brother Elby, but it's more than what you have seen." Someone was telling me on the phone the past few days. "Brother Elby, let me tell you what my daughter saw. My daughter saw people not just changing into four beasts, as you describe it on the Lord's Hour. It was multiple beasts, zombie, these different bats, human changing into bats. They were changing into so many different things. It's indescribable. So many different animals. They sound indescribable." My brother and sister, because she saw her father changing into a bat. Think about it now. A bat. And a bat is like there's something you're afraid of. You want to hit it with a tooth or something. It's like, "My daughter, it's me. Huh? Dad, it's me." He was flying as a bat. Because he's been vaccinated. My Lord, my God. My brother and sister. It's going to be horrible. Because some people, "Oh, brother," always said, "werewolf and beast. I want to change into that. That's kind of cool. I'll be strong. I'll be able to." Listen, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be painful. But people are going to change into different things, including bats and other things. It's going to be horrible. My brother and sister. So the prophet said, "With the hand on the stomach like woman in labor, with every face turned pale." How dreadful, my brother and sister. As we say in the modern day, how scary, how terrible, how dreadful that day will be. Hallelujah. It's terrible. It's unimaginable. My brother and sister, they've never been like it. But Jesus said it was going to be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. So why did Jeremiah, when he saw, when he experienced it, what is Jeremiah saying, "It never been like that"? Because it's different if you and I are taking in the middle of this mess. and you see all these things, how people are suffering, how their arm can be cut off and they're still alive, and their leg can be cut off and they're still alive, and it's so horrible, part of the stomach is out and they're still alive. How dreadful. How horrible that is. Well, that's what Jeremiah is experiencing. And Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, this is how the Nephilim had changed our world in the days of Noah. They were cutting people to pieces. The book of Enoch described the violence behavior. My brother and sister, I haven't listened to the book of Enoch in months. Maybe I need to go back and listen to it. My brother and sister, it's going to be horrible what they are going to do to humanity. A time, a trouble for Jacob. It was 7 years that he worked for Leah and 7 years for Rachel. Not a year more, not a year less. 7 was the years he worked. My brother and sister, the Laban deceiving, he still worked another 7 years. And it's not that the Great Tribulation will be 14 years or 21 years before he got out of that. It's that 7-year period is what humanity will have to go through. My brothers and sisters, it's a little bit of days. Daniel saw it, 7 years plus a few more weeks. My brothers and sisters, it was terrible, indescribable. And so Daniel that seen it, Jeremiah that seen it, and also Isaiah that saw it, how do you describe it? Hallelujah. Isaiah 50, look what Isaiah saw, or what Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 51:9. Awake, awake, Armah Adonine. Clothe yourself with strength, awake, as the day of old, as an ancient generation. Wasn't it you who hacked Rahab to pieces? You who pierced the sea monster? There will be sea monster, says Isaiah, showing up during the Great Tribulation. Sea monster that in the past God pierced them. Rahab and all that was in the time of Elijah. Are you telling me that the Jewish people, the Israelites, when they came into the promised land, they had to deal with this type of fallen one and sea monster? Yes. Goliath was a son of the Nephilims. They had to deal with that. But their faith was so strong in the Lord. God fought for them. They trusted the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord. And God fought for them. And God, this Rahab woman, Rahab, she was so wicked. She was the seed of the Nephilims. All her behavior showed her for being that so wicked. And God had her, hallelujah, turn her to pieces. And God pierced the sea monster. The Lord pierced the sea monster. The same that Joshua, before they went into the promised land, saw him, and he had a sword with him. That was the Lord that pierced the sea monster, got him to pieces. It's the only way they can be defeated. If you, with your technology today, your plan today, try to confront these things, they'll laugh at you. You can launch all your missiles at them, with your tanks, with your planes, and they'll laugh at you. They'll laugh at you, my brother and sister. They'll just laugh at you. Our technology is nothing to them. Only God can defeat them. That's why God wants us to have our trust in him. Because these things that are going to be released, humanity without God cannot defeat them. It is impossible. Because in the generations of Noah, they tried without God. And they fell miserably. And just like in the days of Noah, we'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. They're going to fail again, my brother and sister, because they're not trusting in the Lord who can protect them and deliver them. But out of it, well, hallelujah, a time of trouble for Jacob, but out of it, he will be saved. God promised to save the seed. To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will fulfill. My brother and sister, because he's a faithful God. faithful in him. Hallelujah. It will be a time of calamity for the descending of Jacob, but they will be rescued from it. Imagine this. The word here, the translation, rescue. Angelic. At the end of time, Jesus said in the parable, he's sending his angel to separate the wheat from the tare. And angel, as they separate, they divide them. Hallelujah. He separate them to make sure his are protected. Hallelujah. Because he says here that he will protect them. And that day declare the Lord of the armies, I will break the yoke of the neck and tear off your robes. What kind of rope are these that are holding them bound? Robes. As people have seen them, Sister Celestial will describe you more and what the Lord showed her in Africa, how they have descended there and come among the people, among the youth. My brother and sister, they are among us. These fallen ones see are among us, but believing to be part of us. My brother and sister, deceiving humanity to be in part of us. That's the audio I'm going to play you next from Sister Celestial. My brother and sister, first, I believe she talks about what God already confirmed to her about America. Then she goes, the second revelation is about Africa and how they are among us. My brother and sister, and people cannot even tell who they are. The Lord says that in the great tribulation, they will have put rope on Jacob's, that God will have to tear. They have the ability and technology to rope people in, as they did through the vaccine, that when it goes into DNA and the DNA, it removes the true DNA that God has made. And every day and weeks, it's replacing humanity DNA. When the vaccine was introduced last year, 2020, I'm sorry, 2 years ago, 2020, the information they provided to us is that what the vaccine was going to do, the mRNA, was going to repair the DNA. And now later on, after 2 years after, we have found out that it's not repairing. As they say, is replacing, which is totally different. A repair is when you have a broken tire and you repair the tire, you fix the part that is broken, you leave it alone. You put air back, you put it back in your car, it's fine. This is not what they're doing. What doctors and scientists, including Christians, are finding now, what they're doing, truly what they're doing is replacing DNA. Is removing your DNA and adding another DNA as years and weeks pass, where now the people are getting sick. My brother and sister, deadly sickness are coming upon people on the first vaccinated. Deadly sickness are coming. They're losing their mind. They're losing their memory. They are becoming like robots. My brother and sister, their DNA replacement technology that they have injected into their body through the COVID-19 vaccine is deadly, and it changes the person completely in time. The person can be behaving the first week fine, and after that, it will begin to change attitude, emotion, behavior, and thinking. The person won't think the same anymore. My brother and sister, as it goes in time. And in a year or two afterward being vaccinated, the person, a great percent of the person, the DNA have been replaced. So the person cannot think the same, cannot behave the same. It changes. My brother and sister, it changes. Hallelujah. Until I don't know how many years they plan it to, the person has changed completely. Their DNA has been totally removed. Because it's replacement DNA. Now, you can find that online. You can research and you can Google it now. Instead of repair, search for replacement, which are two different things. Look up the meaning of repair and look up the meaning of replacement. Because replacement Repair is repairing something that is broken, but replacement is removing something that was there and placing another thing in her place. Look at my place. This is important. This is life and death. So you can, once you find the information, you can let them know. My brother and sister, replacement DNA, remember. Hallelujah. Foreign will no longer make you serve them. They're coming down to make people serve them. Humanity will be their servants once they're released. My brother and sister. And they have to join them. And they will be removed. My brother and sister. They're happy to know that those that have been bastardized were fully surrendered to them. That's what God is showing to some of his servants. As the Nephilim are released, they immediately know who were vaccinated. And when they make a call on the vaccinated, they immediately come before them and they bend their knees right before them and worship them. As you say, and they call them Lord and God. My brother and sister. And there were people who were not fully changed yet, replaced via name, replacement, that they not wanted to bend down. But when they spoke to them and said, bend now, because they've been vaccinated, they immediately went and did it. Even against their will, the 30% left of their will. It was banded right away before the Nephilim. My brother and sister, humanity is in trouble with our God. They don't understand the deep trouble they're in. My brother and sister, here, Sister Celestia.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are welcome. Today is a prophecy that has two parts. It was actually one long word that I received from the Lord on October 15, 2021. So the prophecy has been with me for some time. It is already published on the Master's Voice, and the Lord was speaking to me over the last few days to handle this prophecy. So now that I have some time, I'm going to try and do part one and part two of this prophecy. We'll be looking at the death of presidents. We'll be looking at the sin of idolatry. And we will be looking at some of the judgments that the Lord God has said for some time will come to the nation of America for the sin that she refuses to repent of. And so the title of this prophecy is called Hovercrafts and Abominable Weapons of War. Part two of this prophecy also will deal with things that I saw concerning Russia and their coming to the United States of America. Now, in this prophecy, in all of the prophecies, usually in the beginning there is teaching. Prophecy just serves very few functions, and when it comes to end times prophecy, especially the type of prophecy that the Lord has trusted to me, the purpose of it is to turn the eyes of people back to Jesus. So prophecy isn't necessarily to make you feel good or even to justify things that you may have already discovered in your own life through diligence, through prayer, through God waking you up, or through the Holy Spirit bringing these things to your mind. That is not the function of prophecy, and that is certainly not the job of end times prophecy. End times prophecy comes to let people know that they have fallen short of what the Lord God requires of all of us as people. I didn't say requires of us as children of God. There is automatically a higher standard for the church because we have been entrusted with God's word. We have been entrusted with the Holy Spirit. We have received the mercy of the blood of Jesus that now cleanses us of unrighteousness and brings us into linked father and child fellowship with God. So there's obviously a higher standard for the church to keep. But end times prophecy is simply saying to humanity as a whole, I, the Lord God, do exist, and I, the Lord God, do have things to say about the way that you have been conducting yourself as people. And I will come to do judgment against all those who do not keep my covenant, who do not keep my law, and my judgment will be holistic. I've spoken of this before. There's not a single person on this planet that is going to escape the judgment of God. All that will happen is that if a man is righteous, that person will be treated in a different way by God during the time of judgment than those who have cast off God, who have refused to learn God's laws, who don't even care that there is a God or who may be following other gods. And so if we hear the prophetic word of the Lord coming, the primary function of that word is not for us to say, oh, I knew about this, or I dreamed about this, or this is the first time that I'm hearing about this. This is very hard for me. I don't want to believe it. Prophecy comes to tell us that it is time to measure ourselves against the truth of God's word. And if we find that we are not lined up in any area with what God's word prescribes as holy, righteous, and acceptable for people, then it is time for us to return to God and repent. So the Lord God gave me these words. They discuss the passing away of presidents. They discuss the hardening of the United States. They discuss the practice of idolatry in America. And so what is the banner scripture? The scripture that I will use here is one that the Lord gave me just before I came on camera. It is just a brief study out of Psalm 115, and I will start from verse 3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. And I would say that the most important verse out of this piece of scripture is verse 8. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. It basically means that these are dumb idols. They have eyes carved into them, but they can't see. They have hands, but they can't touch. Feet, but they can't walk themselves out of, for instance, various temples. If there's an earthquake, Buddha cannot get up from the temple and walk to safety. He will be shattered along with the building, and that is how you know that he is not a god. For the very least requirement of a god is that he should be able to deliver himself out of calamity and to deliver his followers if the building were to fall on them. So all who make idols and like them, including those who make their idols gold, cash, silver, their 401k, or whatever it is that they have managed to accrue and accomplish in life, is as dumb as the idol that they are following. And the Lord says that the end of anyone who is trusting in an idol means that they will be destroyed along with that idol. And so here are the words of the Lord as they were given to me for a very long time. It was a very long time that God was speaking to me. He kept talking to me over and over and over and saying these things while I was in a sleeping state. And when I finally woke up that morning, he repeated everything and then showed me pictures. And these are the pictures that went along with them. The first thing that the Lord was showing me is that there will come a time in America where there are no people in the homes anymore. And this part of the prophecy needs to be handled with care because of the particular platform that I'm on. It's talking about the harm that causes harm, the solution that is put in the arm along with all the booths that go along with that. And he was saying that there will come a time in this country where entire towns and entire cities will become like ghost towns. In fact, God was saying that it will be like these ancient documentaries, these historical documentaries that people love to watch, where it shows how archaeologists will come across an abandoned city or an old city that happened to be buried under many layers of dirt. And when you dig it up, you get to see that there was a whole civilization living there. But then somehow they all seem to have died of something, or they all seem to have migrated somewhere. And then the city eventually got covered with time. And so when these archaeologists find this city, then that's when we get the documentary. And then we sit there and we all wonder, along with these scientists, what happened to the people that lived there? Where did they go? And why did they all die, perhaps, of something? Or why did they all migrate? And God said that America will be like that. He said that more deaths are coming. Just a moment, please. The Lord said that there are more deaths coming, so there will be an increase in death due to something that is in the harm that causes harm, and I spoke about it. The best way that I can explain it is, you know, when you have a dog and your dog keeps dropping hair all over the carpet, that word we use, we say that the dog is shedding. Why is this dog shedding all over the carpet? So hopefully you will understand. And he says that this thing in the harm grows and grows and grows and increases itself in the south. And as it increases in itself in the south, it will cause harmful and even toxic levels in the south. And so people will be exiting this world due to that type of increase. The second thing that the Lord said is that there's going to be a shortage of money. Please bear in mind that this prophecy is from October 2021. He said that there will be a shortage of actual physical bills because there will be cash hoarding in the United States. The Lord said that very wealthy people are in the practice of hiding the money in this country, and I've addressed this in past prophecies already. He says that they hide the money until eventually it reaches a tipping point where there's a physical shortage of cash in the economy. And then he said that shortages of cash in the American economy are nothing new, that this has been happening for a while, because there's a whole separate money laundering world that takes place with the rich and powerful. And that is where the super wealthy take the money out of the economy and they simply stockpile it and keep it until there's a shortage of cash and until the economy is choking. At that point, they then come out and give various reasons for why they need to print more money. So please understand that relentless printing of money is one of the reasons that inflationary pressure comes. That's one of the ways that inflation comes. So if we now find ourselves, this prophecy is about, I would say, 8 months old since October. We now find ourselves where finally official channels are having to confess and admit that inflation is high. At most recent count, what I heard is that it is well over 8%, even though some dissent with that and they feel that it is much higher than that. Understand that this constant need to print money is what happens. There was another prophecy that the Lord gave me in 2019, and it's called World Politics America. And what I saw in that prophecy is that America could no longer get goods, that there were huge shipping delays in her goods. The goods were no longer coming into the country. And as a result of that, available goods in the country spiked in price. So this was at least 2.5 years ago that I was talking about the fact that goods would not get into the country, that there would be shipping delays, that there would be extreme demand on the available goods. And extreme demand on available goods is yet another economic reason for inflation. So let us give the Lord glory for that, because we have all seen these things happen, and they happened almost 3 years after they were spoken of on the Master's Voice. The next thing involves presidents. The Lord said that he is going to sweep away the idols of America from the table. And so God showed me a very clear picture. And before I go into this picture and speaking of everything, I would like to say this. When you come to the Master's Voice, you are hearing the prophetic words, images, pictures, and revelations that the Lord has given me. I am in no way expressing my personal opinion, and therefore the very least that I ask of listeners is that you will put your personal opinion to the side and do your very best to listen to the Word of God without your personal filters. This is what you feel. This is your traditional election habits, your traditional voting habits, your traditional background, everything that describes you. Understand that when you come into a place where the presence of the Lord is the one speaking, it is not requiring you to pass it through your emotional or mental or personal filter in order for you to determine what is true or not. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord, and the way you thresh and gauge that word is by the Spirit, not by what you like. So the Lord showed me two dolls on a table, and it was one of those dolls. I always meant to go back and get a picture for this prophecy, but you know, life happens. I haven't managed to do that. He showed me these dolls that people used to play with a long time ago. So the doll will be like this. And usually the doll is smaller at the top. Let's try and do that. The doll is smaller at the top and then bigger at the bottom. And it's one of these rocking dolls. So it doesn't have arms or legs. It is just shaped like one unit. It's bigger at the bottom. And the reason it's usually bigger at the bottom is because there is some kind of sand, a lot of sand or metal in the base of the doll. And the way people play with these dolls is you simply push the doll and then the doll rocks back and forth. So you push it and then it rocks back and forth. And the attraction, I guess, of these dolls is that it's very hard for them to fall over. So you can entertain children with them for a long time. You simply push the doll and then the doll rocks back and forth. But it doesn't fall over because it has a weight in the base that makes it hard to fall. So I saw two dolls. I saw one doll for Mr. Biden and I saw one doll for Mr. Trump. And the Trump doll was bigger than the Biden doll. So it's a Biden doll and a Trump doll, and both of them are these dolls that you push and they rock back and forth. And the Lord was showing me that here in America, Trump is a far bigger idol for Americans than Biden. So both these dolls, I saw that pressure was coming against them, and pressure would come against Biden, and pressure would come against the Trump doll. And both dolls would move back and forth. But I saw that they were weathering the pressures. I saw that they were weathering the storm. So, for instance, if you look back over Mr. Trump's presidency, he had quite a few scandals. He had impeachment efforts and things like that. But he managed to weather all those things with a huge and massive fan base in this country. And then we have seen that Mr. Biden has certainly had his issues and his unpopularity issues and slipping in the polls and things like that. And yet I saw these two dolls rocking away, weathering storms and crises and not falling over because they had weights in their feet. And then a hand came from nowhere and slapped both those dolls so hard. It was such a hard blow that was hit against both of those dolls that they fell over despite the weights at the bottom. They rolled over off the table, both of them, and broke. And the Lord was speaking to me and telling me that he would give me words that I would speak and that America would finally hear me. He said that they will finally hear you because they will be silent at last when their towns and their cities are frozen with grief and pain and outrage. That is when they will finally be silent. And that is when they will finally hear the words of the Lord. You will prophesy to them concerning the death of Mr. Biden and that Mr. Trump will die also. And I will tell them what is coming and how they will have no idols left. America will be frozen and stripped of her constant pleasure of idolatry. And so if we go back over past prophecies on the Master's Voice, I think I have seen at least three times the death of Mr. Trump. And I have spoken, that was during the time when he was still in office. And the Lord showed me how in one case that there is actual official action to take this man's life. So I saw that it is actually from the official channels, as official as you want them to be, as high up as you want them to be, that there is strong opposition to this man being able to carry on any form of political career, political life, political, I guess you could say, designs for a comeback and things like that. And I think you can find that information in the prophecy that is called Ezekiel 13. That is the one where I saw that the Lord was saying that there is strong desire to cause this man to no longer be among the living so that he will not be able to have any kind of political designs in future, that him having political designs would not be tolerated. And in another prophecy, POTUS, I also saw that there was desire to take this man's life. And my job as a servant of the Lord is to bring forth things that I see and just to say that if any kind of harm is spoken of to anyone, regardless of your so-called affiliation, because sadly, people in this world, especially so-called Christians in the United States, seem to think that Christianity is one flag that they will fly, and then they will either be flying a donkey flag or an elephant flag. And I have said to people often that if you are a wise person, you must understand that heaven does not regard your political affiliations and your political choices here on earth, and that the inside desires of a person's heart will be strongly judged by God after death. So if you do not want to fall on the wrong side of the history that involves Jesus Christ, be very careful of the things that you celebrate and the things that you are happy for in your heart. I am not a red or a blue person. I am standing here representing the kingdom of God and reading out what the Lord has said. And so these are the things I saw, and the questions were coming, and it was like, what is idolatry? I've covered it many times on this channel before. Idolatry is any form of mindset or action that worships the creature and not the creator. So it's taken you a long time to finally get pregnant. You got that baby, and all of a sudden, because you are now a mother, your relationship with God is in the toilet, because now the baby needs this and the baby needs that, and the baby is suddenly the brand new God in the house. You've been a single man, and you finally managed to get a wife, and now suddenly your wife is above the clouds. You no longer have time for the relationship that actually led you through prayer to get a wife. You are either in idolatry or you are dancing at the fringes of that. Idolatry is to exalt anything in the landscape of your life above God. This is the landscape of a man's life. You can be as successful as you want, as blessed as you want, as wise as you want, but there is only one tower in our lives that stands up, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Should anything else begin to stand up and creep to become equal with, or even begin to exalt itself, please understand, based on what I read in Psalm 115, either God will strike that thing down in judgment, or that thing becomes prey for Satan, because Satan is the notable one who decided to exalt himself and wanted to exalt himself even above the throne of God. So whatever it is growing up, if God himself does not strike it down in the earth, that thing becomes prey for the enemy, and it becomes open to all the plans that Satan wants. And Satan's plans can be filed under only three headings: steal, kill, and destroy. So when we ascribe to human beings, just mere men who have to go to the bathroom like everyone else, but we begin to treat them and worship them and speak of them in godlike dimensions and proportions, praising them inordinately, while at the same time we cannot lift up God. Some people cannot even praise God for 5 minutes. They will run out of things to say about God. But if you ask them about Donald Trump, they can speak until the sun sets and rises in 5 cycles. So this is idolatry. When you use words and worship of the hearts to lift up what is mortal until it reaches the point where it angers God, the Lord showed me in that Ezekiel 13 prophecy that the way that people lift up Mr. Trump, there is also another prophecy called Little Fires. The way that people exalt Donald Trump during his tenure and even now, the Lord showed me that it creates this irritating black smoke that rises into heaven and upsets him greatly. So phrases like the greatest of all time, the GOAT, you're talking about human skills and human achievements, but you're magnifying them as if these are gods you're talking about. This is your children that start to cry when Beyonce shows up on stage. These are your sons whose brains are scrambled when Cardi B shows up on stage, or when Steph Curry sinks 5 3-pointers at the same time, if that's even possible. All this stuff, the Lord says, is the heart of this nation, an idolatrous nation that makes men into gods, but casts God out of its borders, out of its daily life. This is idolatry. Idolatry is when you call a man a savior, as America called Obama in his day. Idolatry is when you call Trump the one who will make America great again, as he was called in his day. Idolatry is to shout, here is our savior. He's going to fix the economy. He's going to help us build back better, as America has said of Mr. Biden in his day. But this is what the Lord God says in his day. America will have nothing but silence and frozen shock when her idols in every single area of worship are hammered and knocked off the table. So the Lord said, you will speak what I give you, and they will hear you. They will have no idols left. I will remove every man and woman that America prays to. I will remove all the false prophets that people worship and follow. Then the nation will be in terror and start to pray, but it will be too late. Their punishments will already be in effect, and they will receive the full reward for being a nation that worships and idolizes man. And so I started to see these images of shock on people's faces as pastors that they love and idolize, the TV pastors, the famous pastors, the untouchables in the realm of religion and faith here in America, died. I saw that even pastors who are not known at all, pastors who only have clout in their local community, also died. Even those itty-bitty pastors that are in congregations of only a few hundred or a few tens, I saw that they were taken away because their members viewed them like mighty gods and mighty sharks in the fishbowl of Christianity. So I saw that these people died. I saw a lot of heart attacks show up and take men and women of God away, and one of them was T.D. Jakes. Now, the Lord spoke this word to me a few months ago, but I held back this message because I said, Lord, this is a very weighty message. And you know, whenever you bring this kind of message out, it always stirs furor in the Christian community. But I hope it will be understood by now that here on the Master's Voice, I do not shy away from anything the Lord speaks. In 2019, I think it would be June, the Lord was passing judgments on people who are bringing a corrupted gospel to the nation of the United States. I saw certain people there, and I will link the prophecy underneath. It is called cornucopia, and that word was given to me in, I think, two or three parts. And as the Lord was passing judgment, several pastors was named, but there was one pastor that the Lord told me not to put his name. And the reason that the Lord told me not to put that man's name at the time is because the Lord showed me how much he loved this man. He showed me that he had singled this man out and given him this grace, this gift, which in Greek is called charis. And the meaning of that is grace. It is also the root of the word that we call charisma, which means that you are simply blessed with natural abilities. And God showed me that the natural abilities of this man to preach and to stir a crowd and to bring them into the deeper knowledge of God came directly from him. But then the Lord showed me that this man, who was unnamed at that time, became a corrupted gold vessel. And I saw a deep red wine pouring into that vessel. And the Lord said to me, Celestial, this is my judgment. And when the cup is full, I shall judge this man. And so a few months ago, the Lord told me that T.D. Jakes would be one of the people who loses his life in this prophecy that I'm now reading, where God says he will take away America's idols. And when these idols are taken away, America will be very bitterly chastised. I'm now saying his name because this message came several months ago, and then I think maybe 1 or 2 months ago, the Lord said the same thing. He said that in any church where the pastor has become the most important person on the agenda, he's more important. He's more loved. People look up to the pastor of any congregation more than they do Jesus. I saw that in those churches, those fellowships, those whatever you may call it, people die. The next thing I saw was sports stars having heart attacks, brain seizures, brain aneurysms, whether they took a hit or an injury. So normally you take a hit, you have an injury. Normally something happens to you in the field, you get hurt, and then they take you off. But I saw that these people died. They died from on-field injuries. I also saw them, a lot of them having heart attacks. I saw them having brain aneurysms. I saw them having seizures, and they died. America's sports stars and idols were taken away. Some of them didn't die, but their careers were destroyed. It was judgment of the Lord upon them for their lifestyles, for the fact that they lived as gods among men, and they believed it in their heart, but also as judgment upon the people who treated them like gods. God took the sports gods away. Some of them didn't die, but they had accidents that broke this or that on them, and their careers were destroyed in an instant. Now, the Lord showed me up close what it was like when Mr. Trump lost his life. I saw that he died. I did not see how he died, but I saw the effect upon this country. It was like an earthquake rippling along the ground, maybe an 11 on the 10 Richter scale. That's how the effect was. And this effect was not a physical earthquake, but it was a response of great rage. When this man's death was announced in the vision, God showed me America like red Mustangs released to run across maybe a plateau or a mesa, hard-packed red ground. If you can imagine wild Mustangs with a red body coat running and snorting in anger and rage, if you can imagine the way the ground would tremble under the hooves of such angry horses, that is what I saw. The rage of America was great because Mr. Trump was gone. And then the Lord showed me when Mr. Biden was taken away and America was in total shock when this news broke. In this vision, I saw America as making dinner. So it was dinner time and a woman was in the kitchen and she was making pasta. But when this news broke on TV, this woman's family was frozen on the couch. The husband was frozen, the children was frozen. And when the mother heard, she carried the pasta strainer in her hand and she was standing in the doorway and the entire family had to look like, and they were playing over and over and over the loop of the sudden death of Mr. Joseph Biden. And then the Lord brought the camera back to the stove, and I saw that the spaghetti boiled until it turned into little bitty pieces of mess. That is how long the family followed that information and could not focus on anything else. The Lord showed me visions of how America will be stunned by the death of these famous people, famous politicians, famous actors, musicians, stars, you name it. It was as if an eraser was wiping out the register of America's idols. And when this gathered momentum, then I saw the country begin to pray. But it was a false repentance. It was a false prayer. I saw these big, fat cartoon tears coming out of people's faces. The Lord made it so big, and so, the way when cartoons are crying, the tears are flying. I saw these big crocodile tears coming down, and the Lord showed me that it was not true repentance, but it was gross self-pity. And this is what the tone, if tears could speak, this is how those tears would sound. Why me? Why is this happening to us? What have we done? What's happening to our precious country? That was the tone of the tears. It was angry tears. It was false tears. It was tears that we demand an answer, like what happened at the World Trade. Even when the sword of judgment came to this nation, as God had prophesied by so many people across America's generations, telling her to repent or the sword would come. When the sword began to come, nothing changed in the people. Nothing changed. It was a false outpouring, very self-centered. It was offended. People were offended at what was happening, and they blamed God. They said, if he was a loving God, he wouldn't do this. Why is he saying all this to us? What have we done? And so I saw that people were angry at God, but because God lives very far away and nobody knows his address, people turned their anger towards me. But what's new about that? The reaction that came out of the country proved that God was right about everything that he ever said about America. There was no true remorse. There was no repentance. There was no confession that said something like, that's right, Lord. You are right. This is happening to us because we deserve it. You're right, and we're wrong. We've done wrong, God, but forgive us and show us the way to salvation. There was nothing like that. And so with this false repentance, the Lord gave me a picture now from up in the heights. So I was seeing as if from God's perspective, I was seeing through a massive thunderhead, a very dark sky with heavy clouds. And behind these clouds, I guess, was God, and I was seeing as if someone was watching from behind those clouds down to America. And the tone of the face of the person who was watching was impassive. Impassive is when you've lived next to someone for a few years, and all they do is play loud music and have loud sex through the wall and have loud parties that last until 2 or 3 in the morning. And they've been doing this to you as a neighbor for years. And then one day something happens next door, and then they come running to you and say, neighbor, neighbor, this has happened to me. that face that you would have as you stare at them with no empathy and no feeling and not caring at all, that is what impassive means. The look of the Lord's face was as if it was a cliff or if it was the side of a mountain. He was watching at how America would not change and how America would not even say sorry for everything that they had done. Instead, they said, what is our crime? They said, why is this happening? They said, what have we done? And there was no mourning of sackcloth for sin. America did not grieve for her sin. Instead, she grieved for her human idols who were dying. And so the Lord had no compassion, and I saw him like a stone-faced mountain watching. And he said to me again, you will prophesy to them, and once these judgments begin to unfold, that is when they will listen. When you tell them my messages, that is when they will finally be still. They will only hear you once they have been punished beyond what they can bear. And I have always said that on the Master's Voice. Everybody has an opinion because there are so many people telling people that they have choices and options when it comes to God. There's no need to listen to someone who says that God says that we must repent and come back to holiness and godliness, because other people are telling people how much God loves them and how there's a revival coming and a great change and so much this and so much that. And so because there's so much option and so much choice, you can basically listen to anything that you want and call it prophecy. But the time will come when the sword is in the land and the most beloved ones are being cut down by judgment that they have earned and that you out there have caused them to earn. The Lord says that is when the nation will be still. And I saw these images of America. It was images and it was impressions, and America was very still. There wasn't this big celebration anymore. You know, all these big holidays that we have, this and that, Memorial Day, Labor Day, you know, Independence Day, all these things went away. People were not interested in barbecues. They weren't interested in block parties. They weren't interested in barn dances or anything like that. There was no pomp. There was no pageantry. There wasn't even any NASCAR. People weren't interested in doing the things that a civilization does when life is fun and bubbly like champagne. I don't know exactly what happened at that point to make the country so still, but it was. Even New York City was still. The city that never sleeps, the joyous city, was still. It wasn't that the city was empty. People were still living there, but the bright lights mentality, this vitality, the busy vibe, it completely stopped. At that point, America became still. At that point, America heard the word of the Lord, but it was too late. And the Lord said to me that this nation will not repent. This nation believes that it is so powerfully Christian that there is no need to sit and self-examine to see, are we really Christians? Do we really walk in the truth of God's word? The Lord says that America is mystery Babylon. And all I will add there is that if you own a Bible and you've read Revelation 18, then you know that Mystery Babylon is the nation that remains defiant and hardened until she is destroyed in 1 hour. And so on October 14th to 15th, 2021, the Lord showed me images of what will come to this nation, because the nation will not and does not want to repent, because America will not come into repentance. Therefore, God will not relent of his decision. And these images and visions that I was seeing ended with another look at that immovable face behind a high wall of clouds, God watching as judgments came to America exactly as he said. This is part one of the prophetic message, hovercrafts and abominable weapons of war. Received October 15th, 2021. I am Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. To use the Master's Voice, all you have to look is look below the video where you see the name of the channel. You'll see something that says Sure More. Drop down the drop-down menu, and you will find everything about this ministry. You will see where the blog address is. The blog address is www.the-masters-voice.com. It is not easy to find the Master's Voice anymore. I explained that in the beginning when I started this ministry, it was very easy to find the blog and it was one of the top results on Google. But now, obviously, because of the kind of information I am handling here, it is very hard to find the blog. So you might have to type in the search box on your browser, Firefox or whatever you're using, Google or Safari, the Master's Voice End Times Prophecy blog or the Master's Voice Prophecy blog. That is probably the only way you will be able to find the blog. Here on the YouTube channel, I am sharing different teachings and different inspired writings that the Lord somehow sometimes brings to my heart, and these things can be found on the community page. You cannot see these things if you are not a subscriber. I am in no way trying to force anyone to be a subscriber. That choice is up to you. However, if you want to have access to these writings, which are not shareable because YouTube is not a sharing platform, it is a video platform, and so it does not have a share button. You can subscribe to the channel, and then when you go to my dashboard, you will see where it says home, it says videos, it says playlists, and then you will see it says community. And then you will find different prophetic words that I sometimes put there before I put them on the blog, or I put them there after they're on the blog. You will also find various teachings, various admonitions by the Spirit about the way that we live our life and the way that we are handling all the resources that God has entrusted to us as his people. So thank you for being with me. Thank you to those of you who continue to support me in the work that I am doing. May the Lord bless you and return your seeds to you. And until I see you again, goodbye. Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I'm Celestial, and you're welcome to the channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. Please adjust your settings if they are not clear. Please remember that this channel has playlists, so you can watch the Russia and China playlist. You can watch the Sin series. That's a playlist, very important playlist. You can watch the playlist that is simply entitled Prophecies, and that is dealing with the harm that causes harm, basically what happens in 2020, what stopped the world in 2020, what God has to say about that. There are about 22 prophecies on that. Some of them are extremely graphic, and they are hosted on other channels. The Master's Voice has channels on BitChute, on Rumble, and on Brighteon. You can find all the information for this ministry, including descriptions of where the Master's Voice is. Simply click the description box. That is the channel name just below the video, and then you will see a little downward arrow. Click that. All the information concerning this ministry is below. So you can watch on BitChute, on Rumble, on Brighteon. There is also a Spanish translation channel called La Voz del Señor, and you can watch the prophecies that we have managed to translate there so far. So in keeping with the supernatural series that I'm going back into, the Lord is nudging me back in there, I received a startling and extremely well-detailed dream from the Lord today. And today being June the 5th, 2022, the title of this message, I will simply call it The Fallen Ones in Africa. The Fallen Ones in Africa. So the beings that I observed in this prophecy were absolutely aliens. This is the knowledge that was in my heart as I was having this dream, that I was looking at aliens, but the thing is that these aliens looked exactly like African people. They looked like human beings. They were four very good-looking young black men of different ages. I don't think that any of them were older than 25. And this dream was shown to me like a movie. So it hasn't been published on the Master's Voice yet. This is a new prophecy. I will put it up in written form in time, but I think I will put it up in an abridged format because I have a tendency of capturing in extreme detail everything that I see and hear. And this prophecy is multiple pages long. So I will attempt to put most of the detail in the video so that I can then use a more abridged form on the blog. So without further ado, we go into this live action dream where the Lord showed me something that has already happened. So this is not a prophecy, a will come prophecy. This is not a prophecy about the future. This is a message about something that has already taken place centuries before, many, 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 I don't know how far back it is, but God showed me something that has already happened. And so here we go. I dreamt this morning that I was standing in the desert of an African country, and I don't know where that country was. I just know that it was the desert, but it's not the kind of desert where you see the sand dunes. it was this hard packed ground, very hard ground where not much grows. So there wasn't even grass there. It's just, you know, where you just see this hard ground and then you see a few tufts of maybe tough desert grass. And you also see these scrub bushes, the kind of bushes that don't need a lot of water, acacia trees and stuff like that. And it was not yet nighttime, so I could still see everything clearly. It was going towards maybe starting to inch towards where the sun is sinking. I'll set in about an hour or two. And out of the sky, I saw this burning projectile coming towards Earth. So I saw something burning in the sky, and it came closer, and it hit the Earth with a thud. It did not go into the Earth. It did not make a crater like we usually see. It was not a UFO. It was something that was so strange to me. And it was just a few feet away from me, but it didn't matter. Even if it had hit me, I said, because I was standing in the past, so I don't think I was really there. God was giving me a view of something that happened and put me there as a witness and an observer. And this thing that came from the sky was an African hut. So it was not a UFO. It was not a ship. It was literally an already built hut. And it was not the small huts that they have in Africa that are either round or square with the conical top made of dried thatch or dried grasses or dried palm leaves. It was a big hut, the kind that they call a palaver hut. Palaver means to have a discussion or to thresh out an argument. So this is the kind of hut that they have where the chiefs and the elders will gather and they will sit in there, and sometimes they allow the people to sit outside and they work out very important matters to the community. This is what came to Earth in Africa and hit the ground. And because the travel, the mode of travel was so hot, the roof that was made of grasses had started to catch fire in little areas. So it was burning in little areas. And one of these young men, who was an alien, got out and he stood and he was trying to beat out the fire with his hand. So he didn't have anything. He was beating out the little fires and the embers with his hand, while inside the other three took out various African artifacts and little African carvings and stuff like that. And they were arranging it around this hut in a way to make it look neat and hospitable and believable. And then as I was watching them do this, I turned and I saw in the distance dust clouds. So someone or something was approaching at speed. I saw them coming in, and as it grew closer, I saw that it was a group of men. It was a contingent of very wealthy men and elders and servants. And so they were wearing robes. They were wearing rich robes. Some of them, a lot of the robes seemed to be this off-white material, off-white gowns and stuff like that. And some of them had their head wrapped. Some of them had their heads wrapped in turbans. You know, the kind of turban that you wrap and then you let some of it fall at the side. And some of them were clean shaven, bald. Some of them were servants that were wearing expensive neck jewelry and gold bands here. So they were wearing gold at the neck and gold here. And this contingent came very close. So I had already been in awe looking at this hut that came from the ground. And then I saw these four young male extraterrestrial beings that looked exactly like black men, none of them older than 25, black men of different skin tones. And I was thinking, what is this, God? And then I see this other group of men, older African men with their servants, rich men approaching. And I cannot remember what they were riding, so I can't tell you for a fact that they were riding camels or they were riding horses. I just know that they were coming in at speed, because there was a distinctive air of urgency when they got off of their animals. They came into the hut without being invited. So the people who arrived, they did not wait to be invited into the hut. They entered into the hut and they gave a traditional African greeting. I did not understand what was said. But what I noticed is the aliens answered back perfectly in that language. So they gave back a perfect traditional answer to the greeting and then offered these men places to sit, and the men seated themselves. At this point, God put the conversation in English, and I will try to be true to everything that I saw and heard. Like I said, I want to capture the detail here. so that the written prophecy will not be all these pages and pages that I have before me. So there was a lot of tension and mistrust in the air. The people who had arrived were not in a welcoming or hospitable mood towards these four young men. And this is very unorthodox for African people who are very open to strangers and foreigners and usually very much more friendly, but this was not the case. And the older people seemed quite angry. They seemed quite angry about something. Some of them were even more angry than others, but the man who was their leader was very calm, so he didn't seem angry at all. And all he said, without introducing himself, without asking for names, all he said was, "So you have come back." That's what he said. He had this very princely way of speaking, and so he said, "So you have come back." And then the leader of the aliens, who was a very, very handsome young man, he also calmly said, "We have never been here before." And God was letting me feel inside this young alien's heart. So I will be describing the things that God was making known to me from the inside of this person. And he was trying very hard not to lie. So the sense I got from this young man is of someone trying to be good because they have been told that when you are good, you get rewarded for good behavior. So that is how he felt from the inside. And so he was trying very hard not to lie in his answers. So when the old man said, "So you have come back," he said, "We have never been here before. We just moved to the area." So the old man didn't say anything, but what he did was he let his eyes rove around this hut. He let his eyes rove in the area outside, and he seemed to be saying, "You're telling me that you came to this area that is not near any other people. It is not near any kind of settlement or civilization. It is not near any kind of water source. It is not near anything. And you want me to believe that you came and settled where nothing lives and nothing grows and that you chose to come and live here?" What he said out loud was, "How long ago was that?" That's what he asked, because the boy said, "We just moved to the area." So the old man said, "How long ago was that?" And the young man waited for a while because he was trying to see in his heart how to answer without a lie. And then he said, "Not very long ago. We are new to the area. Please remember that just maybe 15 or 20 minutes ago, this thing came out of the sky, hit the ground, and was already looking as if they had built it there." And so there was a scribe with the men who had come, and this scribe had unrolled a parchment, and everything that the young man said, everything that the old man said, this man was writing it down with a sharp pointed stick. He was not using a quill feather. He was using a stick that looked like they had rolled it and rolled it and rolled it until the barrel of the stick was very smooth, and then it was only sharply pointed, and he was dipping it into some kind of black substance, and he was making markings on what looked like a cloth that was woven so tightly that it was almost like parchment, but it wasn't. And so everything that people were saying, he wrote it down, and everybody was transfixed looking at these aliens. The aliens were watching the people with amusement. You know when you know something or you're looking or you're going through an experience that is new for you and you just want to see how it will work out. So the people definitely had emotions. They were mistrustful. Some of them were visibly angry. But the aliens were extremely calm, and they had this air of people who simply want a situation to play out so that they can see how it works out. And I was experiencing emotion also, because my heart was beating, and I realized as I was having this dream that God was showing me to my face how aliens came to Africa from the sky and decided to settle there, or as the young man was trying to do, they wanted to settle in that area. And I was saying in my heart, "God, this can't be happening. Make these people leave. Make these people go back in the sky where they came from." But it was the past, and nothing that I felt could change the fact that I was basically watching a tape of what God wanted me to know had already happened long ago. And so whenever the old man asked the boy anything, the boy was searching the data streams of his heart. This is how it was put to me in the dream, that the boy was searching the data streams of his heart. And I saw that this boy was trying to be truthful to his origin, as in where he came from, as well as be truthful to the situation he was in. He was not from Earth at all. This boy was very old. He was an extremely old being with a very old mind that was inside a young form that it had not had time to get familiar with. This is the feeling that was inside me as God was making me feel that this is a very old thing in a very young body. And the feeling I had is that this boy had basically only had the length of this trip to familiarize himself with this body. And so what he would do is when he was spoken to, he went into something called the data streams of his heart to find out answers to questions. Now, this is how the data stream of his heart looked, right? Inside this boy, I saw a lot of information, a lot, endless amounts of information. And it was like, God either put me in the sky or had me watching clouds, watching the sky. So I was either in the sky watching down on the ground, or I was on the ground watching in the heavens. And what I saw is a river of white. It looked like the numbers that you find in the matrix. You know how it's just binary codes, X's and O's and 1's and how code looks. This code was a white river of numbers that was flowing on a black background. So it's either I was in the sky watching the ground be pitch black, and then this data stream was a white river, and the boy would look into that river to find out answers to what was being given. So he would search this impossible amount of internal data to find a good answer to whatever he was asked. And he settled for, one of the answers that he settled for, when the old man asked him, "Where are you from? How long have you been here?" What he chose to say was, "I have always considered the earth my home." He was not from earth. He was from somewhere else. I could feel the distance in him from where he was from. But he was also not lying when he said, "I have always considered the earth my home." He did not want to say where he was from. And so when he said that, this old man smiled the smile of someone who basically knows what's going on. He smiled this patient smile. And this man was so old, he had a cataract in one eye. And I felt that this old man had seen a lot of things in his life. He had seen a lot of things that even the people in the room with him did not know. And he was smiling because he knew that this boy was lying. But he only said, Now, when the boy said, "I have always considered the earth my home," there was a dark-skinned servant, and I saw that this servant had visible anger. He was already aggressive. But when the boy said that he already considered the earth his home, this servant got angry and he made a move. He clenched his fist and he made a move as if he wanted to come forward, as if he wanted to speak or do something to the boy. He was wearing no shirt, this servant, and he only had some kind of a skirt-like thing at the bottom, and he had neck jewelry and arm jewelry, a big man, and he was so angry at this alien for saying that earth was his home. But another servant put his hand on that servant's shoulder. This servant had clothes. So this servant had a robe with a sash and a curvy sword. And the Lord was pressing on my heart that these people are Arabs. But they were also of different shades. They do not look like the Arabs we see now. It was different shades of black people, from light all the way to dark. And so he had this curvy sword, and he put his hand on the servant's shoulder as a way to let him know that we do not speak when our masters are speaking. So no matter how you feel, you have to hold it in. So the old man asked another question, and he said, "Who are your parents? Where are your people? Where is your family?" And then another young man who had been leaning against the wall with his arms like this, you know when you lean against the wall and you're just paying attention to what's happening, he stood up and he said, "We are alone. We are adults. We do not need a family at this point, but when we need one, we will get one. And again, this black servant, this dark-skinned man, was so angry. He became even more visibly upset when these aliens said that they will get a family when they need one. And the old man looked at them, and again, he smiled. And then God took me out of this hut. So God took me out of the hut, and I was not present as they continued to have this conversation. And then all of a sudden, God brought me back to the hut, and I heard the old man say, sadly, you cannot stay here. You do not belong here. You cannot stay where there is no food and water. That would not be good for you. But you also cannot stay so close to our community. We do not have room for you. You have to leave. And this old man looked directly into the eyes of the leader, the young alien boy. He looked directly into the leader's eyes. And he was communicating to him clearly, we don't want you here. We don't want your kind here. You cannot come and stay with us. And the young man was surprised that this was the kind of answer he was being given after he feels that he has been truthful and he has been open, that they want to come and integrate. He was surprised and he said, but we are from here. We are home. And the old man said, you are not. You have to leave. You are not welcome here. Please remember that I'm speaking this dream exactly as I saw it. When the old man said, you're not welcome here, this boy turned into a snake, a huge, actual snake. It was all snake except for the face part. The face part remained the boy. The rest of it, I didn't even get to see any kind of transformation. One minute it was a person, and the next minute it was a snake. His man body just went away. It didn't tear or rip. It was just gone. And the body was a snake, and it was a face. And this snake stood up, and it had something like what European kings wear. You know how European kings have that huge collar? And I would just like to say, please bear in mind that I just shared another prophecy where the aliens came out, and the leader had a raised collar, like the way rock and roll guys would have that high collar, like Elvis Presley. This snake had what I call the king's ruff, which is this very high collar around its neck. There is a dinosaur that had it, because this snake's one was not made of cloth. It was made of this very hard bone plate around the neck of the snake. And all the human beings froze. They froze exactly the way small animals like rabbits and everything freeze in front of a snake when the snake rears up. All the people froze. Only this black servant that was full of emotion did not freeze. And the old man, was bored. He seemed almost bored with the transformation of this snake, but everybody else was frozen. And the black servant was just standing as if to say, if the old man needs him to do something, he's willing to do it, whatever it might do. And one of the aliens, a young guy who was sitting on the ground, he looked at the snake and he said, this solves nothing. You know you cannot force them. You know the rules. If they do not want us here, we have to leave. And the serpent turned around and it said, no, they are weak and they have no power over me. I am tired of this. I am tired of moving. And then he said a name. He said the name of that alien that was seated, but my ears could not understand that language, so I just put a dash. He called this seated alien a very old name. The name sounded so old to me, but I cannot remember it. He said, I am tired of moving. They are weak. They should do what I say. I do not want to move anymore. And so the frozen people are standing there. The old man is bored, and he's looking at the ground and waiting for this snake to get whatever he needs to get out of his system. And the other human aliens are talking to this main alien and telling him, if the people of the community cannot accept us, you know the rules. We have to move on. And so the snake was so angry, but his three companions looked at him. And the way they were looking at him was, why are you doing this? Why did you even change in front of them? Why did you show them that we can change? What does it solve? And so the one who had said, we will get families if we need them, he stood up again and he said, we will leave. We know you do not want us in your community, so we will travel on. And the old man didn't look at him. He just kept sitting there and he said, yes, it is best. We wish you the best on your journey. Tomorrow, you will not be here. And he got up and he walked out of the hut. And that is when these other men seemed to become unfrozen. They found life again and they walked back after him. And they all got on their animals and then they went back at a much slower pace. God took the camera back to this hut. And I saw the boy, the snake was now turning back into a boy. But where it had transformed with lightning speed, it was now changing back slowly into a human. And I got to see the process. When God took the camera back to focus on these creatures in the hut, the boy, his face had come back and his entire upper body had come back. And it was like human head, human chest and arms, and then snake body. And he was slowly transforming back. And he said to his companions, why did you not let me strike them? They are weak and they can't do anything about it. We could have killed them all and taken everything they have. But his friend said, and what would have been the result of that? Why would we do that? And this snake boy didn't answer. And then just before the dream ended, the Lord showed me short clips of these four aliens traveling to several places. I saw that every place they went and landed this hut, they were not wanted. The people instantly knew what they were and said to them, no, you cannot come and live with us. You cannot even live next to us. You cannot live around us. And they closed off their communities to them. I saw in one place that they actually stoned them with stones. So when they came and they tried to integrate, by this time they had changed the method. So they would land the hut and then they would walk into these places. So they would walk into these cities and communities and ask to speak to the leaders and want to be a part of the community. But in every place that they were going, the people knew what they were and rejected them. People were afraid of them. People didn't want to stay with them. And in one town or village that they went to, I saw the people stoning them with stones. The stones were not affecting them. And by this time, the snake one had learned to control himself so that he did not transform when this type of rejection was happening to them. The lead alien was extremely angry, but he restrained himself, and they all restrained themselves, and they always moved on. But at last, they came to a place where the people did not recognize them, and I saw the women coming and welcoming them with so much love, dancing, singing, and hospitality. The people did not know what they were, and they took them in as strangers into the community, and I saw that they brought them flat baked bread and hot food, and they sat with them, these aliens, and they stayed with these people. And all I thought of just before I woke up was how two angels and God also came to Abraham, and they sat with him, and Abraham brought them flat baked bread and hot food and did not know that they were not people at all. So this was in Africa. This first community where the old man rejected them, this was definitely in Africa, and I saw them traveling to different places in Africa trying to integrate, and they were not welcomed until they basically came to a community that did not have discernment and welcomed them. And I thought about how that other alien said that we do not have families. We are adults, but when we need families, we will get them. I dedicated almost 5 months on this channel, The Master's Voice, to sharing the Genesis 6 narrative, how the fallen angels saw women and took from them wives and mated with them and brought forth Nephilim. And this is something that God was showing me here in this dream that happened in Africa, that these beings traveled in Africa going from place to place until they found a place that they could settle. So as you come to the Master's Voice and you hear the things that I'm talking about and they seem strange and weird and unorthodox to you, understand that much of history is not written. And so I was going to say this in the written prophecy, and I will say it here in the visual prophecy. If you are of African descent, if you are of an African background and you actually know of histories or oral traditions or things in your native language or native histories that speak of sky people, that speak of beings that came to Africa and raised up a bloodline that are different from normal humans, whether it is openly acknowledged in your country or whether it is something that people only whisper about and they share it in oral history and oral traditions, I invite you, please, to share your experiences and share your knowledge under this video, because this is the kind of information that we here in America and even in other parts of the West, it will never be available on Google. This is the kind of information that is contained inside the nations themselves. European history is very good at writing about mermaids and things like that. They have chronicled their history in a written form, but this stuff that God is showing me about will only be remembered inside the minds and the hearts of people in Africa. And so if you know of this, if you know of these legends of beings that came out of the sea or beings that came from the sky, where your great-great-grandparents or your grandparents talk about bloodlines that are special or bloodlines that are different inside the population, please go ahead and you can share your experiences in the comment section. And so I will end the video here. This title is The Fallen Ones in Africa. This is what I saw, the exact dream that God revealed to me, that long ago in the past, these creatures did take on the form of human beings. This is exactly what Enoch was talking about. And it happened all over the world. It happened in Indian communities. It happened in Chinese communities. And it definitely also happened in Africa. And this brings back to the fact that I'm always strongly sharing that these creatures were seeded throughout the whole earth. They have gone throughout the earth and blended and mixed with human society. And they have already raised up their families for generations of generations of generations. So this is information that they will not give in church, but God is letting us know. And one of the reasons that this is so important is because of sexual immorality, because people just love to take their clothes off and lie down with people that they have not vetted in the spirit, that God has not said, this is your wife, this is your husband. And on that vein, I will share a second dream that I had. After I had this dream, I woke up, I prayed, the Lord spoke to me, I wrote everything down, and I went back to sleep. And I had a second dream, and it was very short. In the second dream, someone simply said, yes, it's true. I felt very attacked by the words of your channel, Celestial. I felt offended. Then I went to bed, and a huge animal tried to sleep with me. A huge beast attacked me to sleep with me, and I screamed. Then I remembered the words of your channel, Celestial, and I repented. I asked God to forgive me for having sex without marriage. I said, Jesus, please save me. And immediately the beast left me. It disappeared. And because it was no longer touching me, I was able to wake up. I am not offended anymore. Well, praise God. I pray that the words of this channel are touching people. I pray that the words of this channel are warning people of the things that God says, that because of sexual immorality, because of the way that people sin against their bodies sexually, this is the primary reason that the fallen angels are going to, the ones that are still fallen angels, as in fallen angel shape, are going to come back to the earth. But not only that, sexual immorality is the reason that many people have joined themselves to hybrid beings. Many people are the unknowing cog in the bigger wheel of hybrid demon alien breeding, because they have not taken the time to find out from God who their partner is, but have instead joined themselves to flesh after flesh after flesh. Many people have become unwitting victims of this scheme. What scheme is that? The alien said, we will get families when we need them. So many people are, whether they like to hear it or not, part of those families. So if you sleep with anyone without marriage, bear in mind that Satan has the right to sleep with you. I've already covered this in depth with many of the other videos. Remember that you have heard these things here as a master's voice. If you don't have a ring on your finger, you are not married. And yet you take off your clothes for any reason other than a shower. Understand that Satan gains rights over you, over your temple, over your vessel to attack you. This person said that when they heard me teaching these things, they were offended. So many people will be offended because they think that what Celestial does is wake up in the morning and decide that she's going to go after people's personal life. And you don't understand that my presence here on this channel is God's act of love to this end times generation, God's act of mercy to warn people of the things that will happen if they carry on living in sexual sin. And Satan has the right to rule over, to attack and to oppress people who break God's laws and who live in a way where they think that they are a higher law than what the Bible says. So this person said that an animal tried to attack them, to rape them, to sleep with them. And then they remembered what I said on this channel about the fact that if you are in sin, the remedy for sin is not lamenting and complaining and saying, oh, I never used to do this. There's only one cure for sin. It is to acknowledge that you are in sin, to repent on your knees to Jesus Christ by telling him what you have been doing and asking for his forgiveness. After which the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, I think it's verses 7 to 10, it says that God is faithful and just, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness and forgive you. So after this person remembered in this encounter what I said, they suddenly weren't offended anymore by the teaching and the preaching on this channel. They suddenly remembered what I said about humbling yourself and repenting of sin. And immediately they repented. Jesus, I'm sorry for having sex without marriage. Jesus, save me. They said that the beast left them. It disappeared and it was no longer able to hold them. And once it wasn't touching them anymore, they were able to come out of the dream and wake up. So this is the prophecy that the Lord has shown me about seeding of the fallen ones into Africa in times gone by. If you have information about that, especially if it's coming from your local community, I would like to see comments like that. God bless you, and until I see you again, take care of yourselves, and goodbye.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Killer 7 and Time Prophecy Channel. Excuse me. I'm Sister Barbara. What's today? Today is June 12th, and I'm here to present Brother Dan's first prophecy. So Brother Dan and I both got a prophecy today at the same time. I'm doing his first. Come back later to check up on mine, and then maybe tomorrow I'll do his second work. I'm sorry, I have the allergies again so bad. So I want to start in prayer today. So let's do the prayer of Jabez that I rearranged for myself. Bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Start over. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone harm or pain. All right, I keep on forgetting to add the prayer in there. So now join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Here's the Holy Spirit already. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Look at the Holy Spirit. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, a lot of you guys are on here for a while. Now, usually when I can feel the Holy Spirit, which seems to be really cool lately, is that it looks like there's a light in the room, and there isn't any light. Okay, so I have Brother Dan in the phone. Okay, June 12, 2022. Let's see, about 8 a.m. this morning. No, again, this is Brother Dan. So I'll do this one and then possibly do mine either tomorrow or his tomorrow, his other one. The day of vengeance is upon thee. Have you not been warned? My messengers and prophets have forewarned thee. You are a stiff-necked people, and now you shall bear the consequences of your actions. Your words are hollow, and your prayers come from your lips, not your heart. My judgment arrives quickly. Suddenly, what was shall not be. I shall strengthen your enemies, and they shall be your master. All shall bear witness to the power of the Lord. God is amazing. Now, I know we have several prophecies out there that are very similar to the Day of Vengeance. Some, I think one is even actually called the Day of Vengeance. So whatever I can find that relates to this prophecy message, I'll try to repost it on the Facebook channel. Okay, so the Facebook channels. So please, I'm going to beg you again. So please share our messages, like them, and post them on your page if you can, if you're on a Facebook page. Because Facebook has me unrestricted still. I keep on trying to do stuff on there, and they keep on telling me that the page is on restrictions. It's not telling me how long, for what, and I can't do nothing on there. So just so you know that. So please share them, because they're not. And it's just really sad that a lot of people aren't getting the word out here. I mean, they need to hear this work. Okay, what else do I want to mention? The YouTube channel. Same thing with YouTube, only I actually think YouTube is not as bad. They are censoring comments. I'm getting like people saying, the comment I put there is not there. I didn't see it. I went through it. We didn't get rid of it. So my YouTube might have done something with it. Now, I did notice at one point that they were, okay, let's just say this, they were tracking comments. So if you left a lot of negative comments, I noticed that they weren't being put up. So that's what was going on. Somebody actually told me that, but I don't know how true that is. All right, what else did I mention? So make sure you subscribe. If you're just visiting us, please like and subscribe to the channel. Well, hit the notification button so you know what's going on. Now, try to put it on the channel page when we get a prophecy or something, too. Excuse me. Okay, what else did I want to mention? The same thing I normally mention on every video. We know we're at the end. This is it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm praying that all those people out there that are waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they receive that baptism from the Lord. I'm also asking the Lord, please hear me, to pour out a blessing on all of your friends and subscribers on your pages, Facebook and YouTube. Pour out a blessing, a health blessing. We see a lot of things in the news going on with young people with their health. A health blessing, a blessing on their marriage, a blessing on, I'm going to say their life, on their children, a blessing on their job. If they have a job, if they're waiting for a job from you, please let them get a blessing and a blessed job. Sorry, what else did I mention here? The emergency plan. Now, you see things going on out there. Every day is something different. So make sure you're still stocked up on some extra supplies. The main thing is keep your gas tank full, because I just saw something on there, and I hope I saw it wrong. It was $9 a gallon somewhere. So make sure you keep your gas tank full. Have some spare cash on hand, like I said, some extra food and supplies, and I saw the prices are double and triple of everything. And then when I got the order, I'm going to say from Walmart, it was like a third of the size that it used to be. So that's what they're doing. They're keeping jacking up the price, and then they're dropping the size down way small. Now, I remember them doing that. I don't know if it was in the 70s or the 80s. I remember my mom carrying on about how the price was the same, and then you got like one-third of the stuff that you did before, or a quarter. So it looks like they're on the same thing right now, doing the same thing. Let me see. Am I forgetting anything? we need some prayers for Paul. Let's see. Our friend Michael. My friend Tim, look at the Holy Spirit on me as I'm saying their names. My friend Timothy, Jane, and Patty, and let's see, and I did say request the baptism of the Holy Spirit for those that are waiting on it. Okay, now here's what a lot of people ask me. What does it feel like when I say the Holy Spirit is coming on me? A lot of people call it goosebumps, God bumps, but I get the chills. It starts at my head. Look at them. You can see my hair's getting up. It starts at my head. It goes all the way down to my feet. So that is what we usually would call our Holy Spirit test. So if someone sends me a video or sends me some, like, a written text message or a written prophecy, if I don't get that on me, then I know that, something's not right with it. So you should pay attention to what God is telling you. That's your discerning of spirits. Okay, so discerning of spirits. You might want to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That lists all the spiritual gifts from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Now, I have, like I said, I think we're going on 400 new people this month. So a lot of you guys out there, you don't know what really went on with me. I had a major stroke in 2015. There is a playlist on there. And I was not supposed to survive. I was blind, paralyzed, couldn't speak, couldn't walk, of course. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. Supposedly, if I survived the double brain surgery, that I was going to end up staying in the nursing home forever until I died. Here I am. So my job is not done. That's why I'm here. What else did I want to mention on here? Thanking everyone like I normally do. Thank you for all of the encouraging comments on the videos. I see the eagles were out there yesterday. I think there were 3 or 4 of them. So thank you for all the encouraging comments on the videos. Thank you everyone that sends us things in the mail. Excuse me. Thank you everyone that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. It's greatly appreciated. Nancy, I'm pretty sure you sent me these gorgeous earrings. So every time I put them in, the earrings you sent me, I always think of you. What a blessing you are sending me that. Okay, what else do I want to mention? Am I forgetting anything? Oh, my birds. Now, a lot of you guys didn't hear, because I mentioned it on the end of the last video. I have cardinals that are like hanging out on the tree on my balcony, and it's so cool. So I wanted to do a test, because the fish, the beta fish that I used to have, they recognized my voice. And it was really cute because I told the beta fish, yes, I talked to them, that when I eat lunch or when I eat, you guys eat. So I was sitting there at the kitchen table behind me the one day. I wasn't really paying attention to what time, and I just set my lunch out. So I hear clunk, clunk.
What is that?
Clunk. Wasn't it the fish? It was Samson. I had Samson and Delilah. Samson was in his little fishbowl, and he was throwing around the rocks on the bottom of the fishbowl to get my attention. How cool was that? Here's me, I look at the clock and I'm like, I'm sorry, you should be eating now. So I wanted to do a test with, I call them, my birds on the balcony. So I have a family of cardinals living or hanging out in the tree out there. So what I would do is when I would go out there to water the tree or I would throw some bread out on the deck, I'd say, how are my birds today? I have great birds, where are my birds? So the test was, I opened the door and I had the bread in my hand. So if the neighbors hear me, they probably think I'm nuts. So I yell out there, where's my birds? Well, don't I see them coming up from the bottom where the river is coming out of the tree and coming up and landing right on the tree, on the banister out there? How cool is that? They know my voice. This is amazing. God is amazing. I mean, when I first realized the fish knew my voice, that was when I had, years ago, Heckle and Jekyll. Don't laugh. So I had two goldfish years ago, Heckle and Jekyll, and they knew my voice. Everybody thought I was nuts. No. They know you. Your pets know you. They know you. The fish know you. The birds know you. How cool and amazing is God? Okay, I'm starting to revel. Okay, so anyway, make sure you have an emergency plan, some stocked up food, some extra supplies, some, maybe some cash, you know, enough for if the gas prices go ridiculous like I saw on some of the headlines. What else? Again, Brother Den has another prophecy, so either mine or his will go up next. Just check back again. Make sure you hit notifications so you know when we're doing something. Or I should say, when you know when the Lord is doing something. And don't stop praying. Now, I'm on vacation this week. I'm calling it vacation. I'm taking a little time off, so you probably didn't see me on Facebook or anything, really. So I'm taking a little time off, and I actually think I've been praying for Brother Den to get a breakthrough on the prophecies. I think that actually got that prayer answered. Oh, okay, and then I did put a notice up there that Brother Dan's prophecy called the Terror of Nations, that was fulfilled. Vladimir Putin came out, I think he was in a news report or something, where he stated that he put the similarities between himself and Peter the Great. Brother Dan said exactly that in the prophecy I put up. or he put up. It was called The Terror of Nations. I reposted that around on Facebook. You might want to look at that. How cool is God? All right. God bless you all. We love you guys. And join in again and visit.
This was during a period when the Lord was speaking a lot about the fallen angels. And the reason that God brought it up is because he wanted me to start to open and reveal these things on the blog for the first time. I've shared that I was a little reluctant to do that, but God is the one who understands best his prophetic times. And so I was sharing in this word, which is a teaching word that contains a lot of background. If you want to fully understand what it means that the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 came to the earth and chose wives. They took wives of all whom they chose because they saw that the daughters of men were fair. We are talking about two different classes mixing in a way that the Lord has specifically said should never happen on this earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God gives it very clear as he goes through the creation process that kind should only mate with kind. He even says of the trees, which we know do not have intelligence as living beings do, as a dog or a person does, he said that each tree would bear fruit after its own kind. And so God made it very clear that there is a separation in the different types of flesh that he does not want them to mix. And even Paul alludes to this when he is talking about the different types of glory that rest upon bodies. He is talking of an earthly glory that rests upon us, the creation of God as man. And then he says that there is a heavenly glory that rests upon what? The celestial bodies. That means the celestial bodies such as the sun, the moon, and the stars, but also the celestial bodies, the other creations of God. I've shared that God has many, many different types of creations. Only a few of them are shown in the Word of God, such as the seraph, such as the cherubim, who are not these fat, naked angels that walk around with a bow and arrow, as we have seen in a lot of Catholic iconography and things like that. There are a lot of things that have been set before the eyes of man, before the eyes of us as humanity, that are simply not true. There is a lot of deception. And if you have been in church, whether you are new to the body of Christ and you've never heard these things before, whether you're coming out of the world and you've actually done extensive research on these things, but you didn't understand how they were rooted back to God, the Savior, God, the Son of God, Jesus, this channel is here to awaken you to hopefully tie in by the Spirit of the Lord all the things that you may have learned before you became born again and how the Bible is the pivotal book as well as some other extra biblical writings that explained what really went on in the ancient world and why God had to judge the world for sin. And so just give me a moment here until I come to what God was talking about to me. He was talking about Matthew 24 and he was talking about Matthew 24 and Mark 13 concerning the signs of his coming. And one sign that the Lord has given us is called watching for the days of Noah. So it goes, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is a scripture that many people have heard. This is Matthew 24 and verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, many churches will only mention this verse in passing, and they may tell you, oh, you know, especially as Jesus expanded in the verse, he said, as people were eating and drinking, having weddings, giving in marriage and receiving in marriage and having weddings and children, shopping and doing everything else, that's how it will be. But I'm here to let you know that there is a huge backstory about the days of Noah. So we have Noah, the righteous man, who, as the Bible says, is untainted. He is pure. He is whole in his generations. And we're not talking about the fact that Noah still has all his living relatives or Noah is living a righteous life. This is actually speaking to genetic purity. So by the time we get to the Lord making this distinction about Noah and saying that Noah is pure in his generations, he's actually saying that the lineage of Noah has not become contaminated with any of this hybrid seed. The hybrid seed of the fallen angels living with women and the women continuing to mate and remate with other beings, remate basically some of them even with the children that they are giving birth to. If you've ever seen in modern human history what is called the Oedipus, I think it's Oedipus, the Oedipus complex, which is fascination of men sleeping with their mothers. And you see this happening a lot in ancient cultures where a man will stay in bed, enter into sexual relations with his own mother or with close female kin. This is why you see specifically in the book of Leviticus, God is saying that he hates this kind of intersexual relation between close relationships, and he puts it in the law that these people are not to do this. So whether they practiced it before, when God codified the law and gave it to Israel, it became a sin, and God did not want them to do this. You also see in God's law, I think in Leviticus as well, that God is very fixated on not mixing. So a lot of people use this to mock the word of God, and it's because they lack the deeper understanding of what God is saying, I don't want you to mix your flax with your cotton, and I don't want you to mix cotton with silk in a garment. I don't want you to use blended fibers in a garment, and I don't want you to cook this and this together. And it seems on the surface of it to be such nitpicking until you understand that these laws are in part God's reactionary response to what goes on before the flood, when man is now being blended with other creatures, animal creatures by these fallen angels, animal creatures by the giants and the other forms of Nephilim, when man is also sinning, I guess you would put it, at a lower level and laying with the animals himself. It says that in Genesis chapter 6 that God was grieved. So God was hurt. God was heartbroken that he had made man upon the earth. And it says that it grieved God at his heart that he had made man, because as he now looked at his creation, he saw that the only desire in the heart of man was to do evil continually. In those days, the Bible says that the only desire of men's hearts was to do evil continually. And so this is pointing to a very rare height of sin. It means that the average person had become so dull in all spiritual matters, so selfish, lustful, lazy, scheming, wicked, and in fact downright murderous, that now crime and sin was all that was in people's hearts and all that was in people's minds. So understand, the increase of wickedness in the earth is not just the solo practice of one person perceiving a temptation or a lust that they want to indulge in, and then going to privately indulge that lust. This is why I speak so much about sin on this channel, because people don't really have a mature understanding of what sin is. And that's why our generation is trapped and caught in so much sin. Even in the church, the church is so caught up in sin, except that because the people of God know what sin is, they're now caught up in the duality of sinning and then lying about it. Like the adulterous woman that's spoken of in Proverbs, how she will go and prostitute herself, or go and lay in another person's bed, or go as a married woman and then conduct adultery. And then it says she wipes her mouth, which is a picture of a person who eats a meal and then wipes their mouth and cleans their face and takes away the scent of the food and then sits and says, I have eaten no food. What have I done? And so the church is caught in this dual net of sinning. They are in the reality of sin. They are experiencing sin. And yet they are lying to cover it up because of the pressure of appearing righteous. Understand that you cannot appear righteous when you are not righteous. People with discernment can see when there is sin in your life. For me, God always gives me pings. People come to me and they start making it like it's other people's fault, or they start to act like there's nothing wrong, and the Lord is just saying, this person is lying. This person is in sin. This person is actually, sometimes the Lord says to me, Celestial, this person is actually looking for you to rubber stamp the wickedness that they do so that they will not feel bad. And people don't understand that if you don't feel bad about sin, you will never repent. I don't want this video to go off in another direction. If you don't feel convicted about your sin, you will never repent, and until the day the Lord seizes you to judge you, your sins will be upon you. We don't want to feel bad in this generation. Everything about modern life is geared towards increasing the feel-good factor. You need to feel fantastic all the time. That is why social media is such a prison. Social media demands that you feel good. It demands that your coffee better look brilliant with a little heart, and you better take that picture and pose it so that you can get extra points for being alive. Social media almost grips you by the neck and tells you, if you don't look thin and if you don't look cute, so help me, you will be canceled. And so people are controlled by these unseen prompts that tell them, be happy and do more and don't feel guilty about anything because everyone else is doing it. But I already shared that sin is like this very heavy coat with 1,000-pound lead weights in all the pockets. And if your only claim to fame is saying, well, everyone else is wearing a coat, guess what? God has enough space to judge the whole community of sinners. Trust me, he's not lacking space in hell, because the Bible says that hell from beneath, right now as I'm speaking to you, the Bible says hell from beneath enlarges her mouth, and she will swallow up all the sinners, and she will have room to spare for when God puts the fallen angels, the Nephilim, and Satan himself in there, and then tips the entire thing like a full bowl into the lake of fire. So if the only thing that we are using to cover up our nakedness in sin is saying, well, everyone else is doing it, it's a poor excuse. So there's sin in the world and there's sin in the church, and yet the Lord is saying that this generation will exceed the wickedness of Noah's day. So in Noah's day, they were sinning so much, please hear me, they were sinning so much that God decided that they did not need to live anymore as a collective. God ended the world functionally, keeping only 8 people alive on a boat. And it doesn't even say anywhere in the text that they were preserved, the 8 of them, because they were each individually righteous. No, what it does say is that because of Noah's righteousness, because of righteous Noah, God saved Noah's family. 8 people out of the known world. This is after Genesis chapter 5, where it says that the earth was filled with people and they were trying to build the Tower of Babel. And then the Lord looked down upon them and saw that their hearts were united in this wickedness. And he scattered them across the earth. And they all moved out. Yet God decided to flood the entire earth. Why was he flooding the earth? Because the earth was full of the abominations of man, and the earth was full of the expressions of Satan's heart. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into it. Do you know what it is to live on an earth where Satan's heart fully expresses itself? I'm here to let somebody know that we are actually going to see that. You see, because the worst that we see now, and these are painful things to see, we see the ritual abuse, and we see the satanic abuse, and we see the murder, and we see the abortion, and we see the perversion of sexuality. The Lord was just sharing with me and saying, Celestial, do you know what it is to live in a world where the most important thing about humanity is what they keep in their underwear? I was shocked. I was shocked, but this is how blunt God is. God is not this namby-pamby, prancy person that people believe in. Oh, Father wouldn't say this, and Father wouldn't say this. The fact is that you do not even know Father. You do not even know his voice or what he would say. To the people God counts as friends, he is as blunt as a steak knife, just in there, and he will just say a thing. He said, do you know how fallen it is to live in a world where the most important thing, this thing that is constantly on the mind of the people that are on the earth in this hour, is what is in our clothing? What is inside the place where we are supposed to be practicing modesty? The whole earth is drunk following after human sexuality. What is sexuality? What is okay between a man and a woman? What should we do? What should we not do? What is a man? What is a woman? What is a baby? Is it just a collection of cells? Can it think? Does it have the right to life? Who decides? Me, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court, Jesus? Who has the right to say what is a clump of cells? What is life? What goes on in private between man and man? Is it just man and man? And it brings me back to what I was saying earlier, is that if we think that sin is this personal, private thing where I can just creep off and go and do it and it's not hurting anybody, and that's why the modern church is so paralyzed with this fallacy of don't judge, you don't know his struggle, and don't judge, you don't know his story. The Bible actually tells us that we should judge with all righteous judgment. Why? Because we will judge even these fallen angels that I'm currently teaching about. The Bible says that by their fruit, you will know them. And so this means that I don't need to know your story, because the evidence of your life actually tells your story before I speak. And this is why so many times the Lord will say to me, this person is lying. It is not because I, Celestial, just want to jump up and say, hey, liar. It is because the Spirit of the Lord is saying, as I'm reading, this person is actually lying. This person actually loves their sin, and this person is seeking confirmation bias that the sin is okay, or that there will be some kind of special softer punishment for them if they continue in sin. I'm here to let you know that if you are in sin, you will have absolutely no defense when you stand before the Father. For the Bible says that we know when we sin, and this is why God is blameless when he judges us. Think of a judgment situation where the judge has heard the evidence and he's passing sentence on you, 10 years, 15 years, or life in prison. Human judges make errors, but Psalm 51 says that righteous are you, O God, when you judge. You are blameless when you lay out the punishment. Why would the Bible be able to say this with such authority? Because it means that the Spirit of the Lord already knows the heart. He knows the heart. And therefore, if we will not accept responsibility for sin and confess it so that we can be free of it, it will be impossible for God to show us mercy. And this is why Mystery Babylon of Revelation 16, where it says she's the throne of the beast, Revelation 17, where it shows the harlot riding on the back of the beast, and Revelation 18, where she meets her inglorious end. This is why no mercy is shown to Mystery Babylon, because Mystery Babylon insists until the moment of her destruction, I have eaten nothing. I am guiltless. What have I done? What is so great about my sin that the other nations are not as guilty as I am? This is why God says he will not change the judgments that are coming to America, because America has no remorse. And yet in the Christian community, there is this powerful belief that revival is coming. I ask you, in the wisdom of Christ Jesus, where have you ever seen revival break out in the midst of increasing wickedness and sin? Where have you ever seen revival break out in a country that is currently fighting over whether you can get the abortion pills by mail or not, or whether you can marry the man as a man or the woman as a woman or not? Where have you ever seen revival break out in the midst of unrepentant filth and the increase of wickedness? I ask you now, go ahead and thumbs down the video. If your thumb has the power to spoil and stop prophecy, I watch in expectation to see your glorious power overturn the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that the church is not being taught that revival comes on the back of brokenness for sin, of the maturity to acknowledge that I am a sinner, I am caught in an addiction 10 years, 15, 20 years. This habit controls me. Half my day is spent hiding it from my parents. The other half I spend hiding it from my friends or my wife or my husband. How can revival come to a nation that clings to its sin, that loves its sin, that codifies its sin into law? What revival is coming to a country that says, let me roll a third and a fifth and a seventh generation in the mud and then teach it to my children? Revival comes on the back of acknowledgement of sin, of saying, wretched man that I am, God, have mercy on me and release grace upon me to to break these chains so that I can be free, so that I can be what you have made me to be and called me to be. What revival is coming as the sin increases? As the Lord prophesies here that the fascination with sexuality will spill over, he called it a stench rising in the earth. And what will it draw? The Lord said that the scent of humanity abusing their sexuality, the porn, the cross-dressing, the homosexuality, the abortions, the sexual murders, the satanic sacrifices of the innocents, fornication, adultery, all of it. He said the stench of humanity abusing their sexuality will draw down the fallen angels to come and blend and mix and mate with man. And in the end, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon this earth. Hybrids walking around as bold as you please. Watch, I'm speaking to America. They will have rights. I don't know if it's going to be called aliens' rights, our kinsmen and brothers' rights. They will have rights. They will live in the midst of the population. And if you don't like it, you will just have to go and live in the far-off communes that I've seen. You will just have to go and live in those communes if you want to live with maybe human-only communities. Otherwise, they will be blended everywhere, pretending to be good until they rise up to tear flesh, as the Lord has said. So let me carry on. This message is called The Promise of His Coming, and I received this vision on April the 13th, 2020 at 5:34 p.m. It was an open-eye vision. I don't remember what I was doing, but I suddenly found myself staring at the night sky, and this is a vision that repeated all through 2020 in different forms. I saw the night sky above me, and it started to turn very fast, exactly as the turntable of a DJ. So you look at the sky, and you see the pinpoints of light, the stars as they appear, and then all of a sudden the sky began to do a lazy spin faster and faster until the points of light began to form a streak. It looked just like these images that they show you in disco videos or when a person has taken drugs and the movie is trying to show you this is how they perceive light that's all squiggly like that. The sky was turning around and the stars began to turn in their courses until they formed thin streaks of light, and it looked like the sky was being mixed by a DJ into yellow, red, and white circular streaks. And then all of a sudden, the sky tilted and it poured out the lights in an arc. So just as I shared in the previous video where I saw the lights streaking down from the heavens and creating these streaks behind them as the stars fell, I saw that the sky poured out the stars, and instead of something pouring out like water, it was a cascade of stars, and the stars fell to earth. And when they fell to earth, each star turned into a glowing staff. A staff is something like Gandalf carries in The Lord of the Rings. It's something like a shepherd's crook. And each star became a glowing staff. It became like a bolt of lightning, a glowing bolt of lightning or a javelin thrust into the ground. And they turned into spears of lightning. And each one had a leather belt on the middle. So I've seen this very often, that the stars will fall out of the sky. And when they hit the earth, they take a solid form. So as they're falling, they look like light. But when they hit the earth, they turn to javelins. They turn to, you know, the thing that you throw at the Olympic, but very big and glowing, like phosphorescent glowing. And they each have a belt. So in the old days, it's not the belt that you know with the buckle and everything. The belt used to be made of leather and you simply tie it. And sometimes it would have a large area that you could wear here or wear on the side. And to show it was your belt, the craftsman would craft your initials into the leather. And so I see these javelins fall, and wrapped around the waist, the middle of each spear of glowing light, there is a leather a leather belt. Sometimes it appears as a leather handle, like the javelin has a leather grip in the middle. Sometimes it's a leather belt. And on each belt, there is an insignia. So sometimes on the belt, I see initials, but most of the time, I see these runic symbols that I do not understand. And the Lord impresses upon my heart, these are names, Celestial. These are names. And therefore, I came to understand that when each star falls and takes a solid form on the earth, and it's wearing a belt, it is letting me know that that star is representative of someone. The stars are personages. They are beings. They are powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the high places, against the rulers, against principalities, and against who? Against powers. Power is actually a type of angel. The virtues are actually a type of angels. The powers are also a type of angel. And so each person's insignia shows a mark of ownership. And whenever I would look at this vision, for I had it multiple times, I had the impression in my heart that the owners of those spears would soon show up to pull them out of the ground and use them. After I had this vision on April 13, 2020, the Lord spoke to me and he said, in the last days, mighty warrior angels will come down from the sky. Heretics. A heretic is someone who denies the truth of an established belief. So a heretic is someone who departs from the truth and begins to deny it. And that is Satan himself. He said, heretics, sinners, evil and demonic beings, loyal to Lucifer, the light bringer. That is why they are shaped like lightning, so there can be no doubt who they serve and who they belong to. Remember the scripture says, for I beheld Satan. The Lord Jesus said, for I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. He said, the sky will pour out occupants of all sorts and shapes, but chief among them will be light bringers, the shining ones, false bearers of light who come bringing another truth. Their light is nothing but darkness and deception that will lead to the destruction of men. And here are some scriptures for your consideration. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Matthew 24 and 29. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken loose. Mark 13 and 25. And so this powers, as I said, is not talking about electricity or electric currents. It's talking about physical beings. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the high places. And so understand, for this is the direct revelation and instruction of the Lord to his people and to anyone. You do not have to be a Christian to hear and understand what I'm saying. Demonic beings are going to come to this earth in another skin, pretending to be our brothers. They will pretend to be helpers. And the way that they will personify themselves as the wise ones, that is how they are going to come. They're going to come bringing a lot of wisdom. And because of the greed and curiosity in the human heart, many are going to flock to them as they reveal enhancements to our human lives. They're going to bring many helpful things, and they're going to bring many unhelpful things. The presence of these creatures is going to greatly excite sexuality in human beings. So the only way that I can put it to make sense is just think of a beautiful woman entering a room and she's wearing a captivating perfume. It's not enough that she's so good looking that when she enters the room, everyone is captivated by her appearance. But no, she's also wearing this deadly perfume that whoever takes it into the nostrils becomes intoxicated by it and then begins to desire more and more of this woman, both visually to see her, to interact with her, to be close to her, but also to inhale this deadly fragrance, which is actually a stench to the person's soul, to the person's salvation, a threat to the person's own existence. Yet they don't know it. All they see is beauty, and all they smell is this wonderful fragrance, but they don't know that this is the sight and the smell of death. This is what the presence of these beings in the earth will be like. If you see how the earth seems to be losing its mind now, and people are just saying, oh, it's so dangerous out there, and I don't know what's happening, I can tell you that as these demonic creatures are making their entrance, as they are preparing for their great global debut, people will literally lose their senses in following them and imitating them, in lying down and couching with them. People will give over their bodies to these beings. And officialized hybrid birth. Right now, it's been taking place unofficially behind the scenes, and these people are walking around looking like man, not man. But official hybrid birth, where they get a birth certificate and everything else, is going to be a part of the future society. They will claim that they are the wise ones of creation, and they want to help us out of our primitive ways. They will claim that they want to help us rise out of the level of where we are now, which is war and viciousness and selfishness, and teach us how to live in love or whatever it is that they're going to say. But I am telling you now to stay away from them because they eat flesh and blood. They consume flesh. They eat humanity. If anyone is a non-believer, you have all the witnesses. So the Bible says, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. Not only do I have multiple witnesses on the Master's Voice that you can go and read, but there are many people who will see these videos and know that you have had experiences in your life that were either preparing you to be one of those who will fall for this deception and welcome it. People have been having dreams. People have been seeing ships. People have been having dreams of beings talking to them and saying, you are special. You are a star child. You are a star seed. You are this and that. Beware of the enemy, for even Satan appeareth as an angel of light. He will appear to many people. And I know no matter what I say, the feet of people will go running into perdition because God has said that this generation is more wicked than Noah's generation. Noah was quietly building his boat and loudly proclaiming that a flood was coming and that mankind, who was extremely voracious for the same wicked sexual activity in those days, extremely fallen, giving themselves over to the marrying of wives and giants and things like that. Noah was warning them to forsake sin, confess sin, and return to the safety of God and to find a place in that ark. But the Bible says that when the rain began to fall, or just before it fell, God told Noah, go ye into the boat. And then the Bible says that God shut Noah in himself by his own hand. I'm here to let you know that the time to break away from evil practices and opening up your heart to every doctrine that comes by is very, very limited. God will not bear with the sinfulness of man forever. The first time that God bore with man's sinfulness, it reached a point where his heart was broken and he could not take it. And he wiped the earth clean for sin and started over. And one of the first rules he put in place is that these people are not going to live 900 years, 700 years, 443 years and stress me out in their fallen and their sinful state. A man's years will be cut down to 120. That's how it was in the ancient times. A few generations later, you see David saying, a man's years are 70, 80 if he is strong. That's 40 years cut off the life expectancy between the time of Noah and the time of David. God says he will no longer bear with the consistent sinfulness of man. So if you are someone who walks in sin and you think that God will keep tolerating, I'm letting you know that one day the ark will slam shut and all you will have is what the people in Noah's day had. Sometimes I think about it, and it really brings the fear of God to my heart, and the fear of God is healthy. The fear of God keeps celestials sane and walking in the path that God has ordained for her. What must it have been to see that rain coming and to watch it fall for the first 3 to 5 days? And it was no small rain, for the Bible says that God opened up the windows of heaven, and he also broke up the fountains of the deep. That means that there are windows under the sea. God pulled them open for that particular judgment, and the sea rose greatly and flooded inward. Noah wasn't building by the beach. Noah was building in the town he lived in. Yet the sea rose to the point, and the rain came down to a point where that huge ark was lifted up upon the waters. What must it have been like to be in Noah's neighborhood. Maybe not one of the far away cities who would come and journey and look at the boat and think, what a marvel, what a crazy old man. But what must it have been to realize that the time for repentance is over, that the time for grace is done. The ark is shut, and now there remains only the judgment. And the Bible says that they went there. Noah, open up. Noah, we believe you now. Noah, we know you can hear us. Open up. Our children are out here with us. Our children are drowning, Noah, because of our unbelief, because of our hard-heartedness in the face of God's never-ending, never-tiring grace. We are drowning, Noah. Open the boat. Sometimes it doesn't matter how soft-hearted a messenger is. When God shut the door, God shut the door. And that will be all there is. There will be nothing the messenger can do for you. There will be nothing you can say in the comment section. When God judges Mystery Babylon, the United States of America, there will be absolutely nothing that can be said by yourselves or by myself. It will simply be the hand of the Lord completing what he said in Revelation 16, 17, and 18, because she would not repent. Because she kept thinking that her portion was revival in the midst of her increasing wickedness and sinfulness, in the midst of losing her mind in front of all the other nations, she literally thought that I would reward her with revival when she would not fall to her knees and repent. I will stop the message here. The title of this prophecy is The Promise of His Coming, May 19, 2020. I'm Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. Everything about this ministry and about this platform that the Lord is raising up to bring forth his word in these end days can be found in the description box below. Until I see you again, may the Lord God bless you and keep you, and goodbye.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel. Today is June the 10th of 2022. I'd like to share another word with you the Lord has given me that I hope will bring encouragement to you on this day. We know that in the world there is much darkness, and the scriptures tell us that in these days we can expect this. But the word also tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to bring light into the darkness. And the scriptures tell us that light will overcome the darkness. This word I'd like to share with you today speaks of that light and of the Lord's plan to push back the darkness with his brightness shining through his people. At times we may wonder, does our presence have any impact on the world? It seems like the darkness has overtaken all of society, and that it has even snuffed out the light. But the Lord has promised us that the light always overcomes the darkness, and that we, as his people, are overcomers and do have an influence in the world we live in. I hope this word encourages you today. This word is titled, Dispelling the Darkness. I'll begin reading with scripture. John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This scripture tells us that we who are in Christ will not walk in darkness, but that his light will fill us and shine through us. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This scripture passage tells us that we are the light of the world, and it encourages us not to cover our light up, but to let it shine so that others will see it and respond with giving glory to the Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This scripture speaks of our transformation, that we are being changed from glory to glory. I'll begin reading this word. Unto you it is given to know the times and the seasons, says the Lord. I am revealing myself to those who long for my coming. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, ruler of the nations, and I am taking my rightful place amongst the elect. More is to be revealed as time goes on, for this is the day of revelation. The light is increasing. It shines forth through the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I am sending my witness into the world, says the Lord, the light of my countenance to be carried forth by my chosen vessels. So let your light shine forth to all men. I am raising a torch that will be carried high by my torchbearers. It is the light of my sun, and it shall burn fervently for all to see. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the captives shall be loosed from the stranglehold of sin and idolatry. I am making a way clear to the Holy of Holies for those who have gone astray. I am increasing the awareness of my presence. Multitudes shall see the light and know my presence, says the Lord. Great is my faithfulness to all generations. I am raising up a remnant who will proclaim my coming to the nations, a witness to the unsaved. My banner over you is love and acceptance. You are lovingly accepted into the fellowship of believers. Partake of the bread and wine, my body that has been broken for you, and my blood poured out. Persist in the way outlined to you. Do not be pushed off track. I have opened a door no man can close, a door of discernment and opportunity, an avenue of outreach reserved for you. Enter in, step into place. For it is yours to minister life to a hurting generation, a broken and bruised society that has not honored my name. Go forth in all confidence to access the credentials needed for the job as rivers of living water are released to you. You are being taken up the river of life, propelled forward into avenues of influence reserved for your expertise. Come into the fullness available to you. Come into the holy place, over the threshold, into rivers of abundance. My blessing is upon you. You are welcomed in by your heavenly Father into riches untold. Mercy and grace are yours through Christ Jesus your Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This is my word to you. Tell it to the nations. Make it known, near and far, that there is no other way to the Father. Many have tried to enter another way, but there is no other way, says the Lord. This is my promise to those who choose to come into my presence. This is my word to you, that in all your ways I will acknowledge you before the Father. I will make known my mysteries unto you, and I will accomplish my purposes through you. This is the day of resurrection life for those who are in Christ Jesus. The things of the world are passing away, and all is being made new. I will take you into places prepared for you since the foundation of the world. I will bring you into place at the banquet table of the Lord. Many mock and scoff, but the time is here, the time is now, when my elect shall be taken up into glory, says the Lord. The glory of the Son shall be upon them and radiate through them, for they shall emulate the Son as they come into the fullness of his presence. He has chosen to pour life into those who are his, resurrection life, and they shall be raised up into fullness of life in him. This is a mystery unfolding to those who are being taken from glory to glory, being transformed into his image, being made sons of the living God, for it is written that they shall become like him. Enter through the narrow way, come into his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, for he inhabits the praises of his people. My light is shining forth, says the Lord. Though darkness covers the earth as a blanket, my light is shining through to dispel the darkness, to roll it back. I am the light of the world, and I have come to shine my light through my chosen vessels. The people shall look on to see the light that flows from my light bearers. Have I not revealed myself to you, my true identity? I am the one they sought to remove from the world, to snuff out the light, but they could not. My light shines forth as a beacon to direct the lost back to the Father, and I am sending my beacons forth. They shall testify of who I am. They shall declare my name to the nations. They shall be light to the perishing, showing the way back to the Father, redirecting the lost, calling them back into relationship with the Father. They shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. When every accusation falls to the ground as judgments of men are refuted, my light shall shine forth to give direction. You will see this in your midst, the standards of men crumbling, for I shall set the standard and measure according to a standard of righteousness, and all standards of the world shall be brought to nothing. I am at work taking them down and replacing them with the standard of the cross. Every knee shall bow and come into submission, for all are guilty of crucifying the Christ, and all shall be brought back to the cross and brought into accountability, says the Lord. They will understand what they have done and be given opportunity to repent before God and men, to publicly confess their sin. All the earth is the Lord's. All the earth shall bow down and worship me, says the Lord, recognizing that I truly am the Son who was sent, the Savior, Redeemer, that there is and will be no other. Repent and be saved, says the Lord, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This word is a word of encouragement from the Lord for those who believe in Him to recognize that they radiate His light to the world around them, and that the Lord has called His people to minister to the lost, to reach them with the Word of God, and to invite them to come to receive God's forgiveness for their sins and to enter into God's blessings on their lives. The message we are to carry is that there is no other way to the Heavenly Father except through Jesus Christ, that it is a narrow way, but it's the only way. The light of Christ is shining forth in this time of gross darkness upon the earth, and this light will never be snuffed out, but it will radiate forth to draw people unto the Lord as a testimony of who Jesus truly is, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. The Lord is raising up His standard, which is a standard of righteousness that will bring every man, woman, and child to their knees at the cross. The Lord has prepared us as His people to be vessels to carry His light, and by so doing, pushing back the darkness. May this word encourage all of us to shine our light, not to hide it, not to be intimidated by the darkness, but to continue